everyone. It is a beautiful, glorious Monday morning, of course, because it appears there's peace in the Middle East. We've got a lot to just kind of dig into today, so I'm excited that you guys are all jumping on board with us. Welcome back to the program. Hope you had a great weekend. And happy Columbus Day for those of you who just know, that it's Columbus Day and nothing else. It was a very exciting morning for most of us who have wanted the war in the Middle East to end, and it looks like it is official. There is no longer a war between Israel and Hamas. They have officially turned over the 20 alive hostages, Hamas that is, back to Israel. Those men making their way back just a few hours ago. And then the Islamic terrorists that Israel had as prisoners, well, they have also been sent back to Hamas. It looks like there's over 200 of those. So it looks like everything's going well thus far, but there are some reports saying that Hamas has not met all of their agreements. There are several hostages. Their bodies have not been returned to Israel as of yet. We'll continue to follow that as it develops, but a lot happening today in Israel that we have to be excited about, at least. Because, folks, we've wanted an end to this war for a very, very long time. And it looks like President Trump has made good on his commitment to bring peace to Israel, to Gaza. And it looks like everything's going well so far. So that's the good news. President Trump also in Israel today. And a lot happening there that we'll dive into in a few minutes, we'll say. I also wanted to remind everyone that Tommy Robinson in the UK is on trial right now. He's facing his terrorism case today. We've been following the updates coming from the courtroom. Nothing big to announce as of yet. Everything's just beginning. But Tommy Robinson is beginning his terrorism trial tonight. I'll keep an eye on that. There's also a Northeastern, which is impacting those on the East Coast, with a lot of flooding, heavy rain and stormy winds. So we will be following that to see if there's any type of coastal line damage. I know in Florida, they're dealing with a little bit of this. It's an interesting weather pattern. There hasn't been any major hurricanes, though. As a former Florida resident, usually last year around this time, we had actually two major hurricanes come our way. So this isn't such a bad season for those in Florida right now. But a lot happening, like I mentioned, with President Trump. He is really working it right now in Israel. And he's calling for a pardon. It's probably not the pardon you were hoping for. We'll talk about that in a few moments, but not ideal. We'll have Robert Spencer joining the show later on in the program as well, helping the first hour. Robert Spencer is the man behind Jihad Watch, and he has been digging into all of this. He's been following all the details as to what's happening in Israel, and we're excited to have him on the show. We're also going to be asking him about Qatar, because on Friday when we signed off with all of you, the DOD, or I should say the Department of War, was welcoming a very high-profile official from Qatar, and there was an announcement regarding we were going to begin training their fighters, their troops, I guess you would say, at one of our air bases. I know a lot of people were very upset on social media about that. Robert Spencer is going to be reacting and telling us a little bit more in the way of details as to what we could expect from that. But Pete Hegseth also trying his best to combat the critics. We'll say that. He's trying to push back on his critics in regards to it, says that this is totally normal. This isn't something that's totally out of the loop for what we do with foreign countries. Qatar's not really our friend. And there's no reason to be bringing their men here. So we'll be diving into that in a little bit. Plus a lot more going on all throughout the country. Obviously, Chuck Schumer is still continuing the shutdown. I actually spoke with Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday. I'm going to play a clip of that because, you know, I asked Speaker Johnson, he was suggesting that Chuck Schumer doesn't want to come to an agreement on the shutdown until after the No Kings rally. So I asked Mike Johnson about that, and I will be playing his response for you later in the show. So we've got a lot to unpack in just a few moments. We've got a jam-packed program for you today. Lots of things that we're diving into throughout the country, throughout the world. So do not go anywhere. There's plenty of American Journal to dive into.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your Ultramethylene Blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at theolicestore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at theolicestore.com.
Right now in Israel, President Donald Trump making his way to Israel earlier this morning and obviously receiving a standing ovation, rightfully so, right? The guy made a commitment to end the war in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas, and it looks like he has done just that. Both sides giving President Trump credit for bringing peace to the region. Now, interesting enough, folks, he has been really welcomed by everyone on both sides. And it's been quite the interesting visit thus far. Now, he is expected to also be heading to Egypt as well, because that's when everything is expected to be finalized. But Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to be there. We just got word about that. He's claiming that there's a Jewish holiday, and that is the reason why he will not be present. But it looks like both sides will be there. So, well, not both sides, but one side will be there, just not the other. But everything looks to be going well, I should say. What's going on right now? Well, obviously, Israel has received their 20 hostages back. They, in return, have given over 250 hostages, prisoners, I should say. Those are Islamic terrorists. They have been given back to Hamas. We are told that Hamas has not completely done everything they're supposed to do regarding the agreement. In fact, Israel apparently has not received all of the hostages' bodies, and so the deal is not 100% through and through. They are still waiting to receive those individuals who lost their lives, but so far those 20 men have been brought back to Israel, and it's been a very warm welcoming for all of them. President Trump earlier today spoke in Israel's parliament, and we're going to play clip two for you because it's where he's actually highlighting the end of this war. Take a listen.
This is not only the end of a war. This is the end of an age of terror and death and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God. It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony for Israel and all the nations of what will soon be a truly magnificent region. I believe that so strongly. This is the historic dawn of a new Middle East.
Sounds well, and it's very important that we highlight the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu has been very excited for President Trump's arrival in the region. He, in fact, in clip three, was very excited and was even complimenting President Trump and highlighting the importance of Trump's relationship with Israel. Take a listen.
No American president has ever done more for Israel. And as I said in Washington, it ain't even close. It's really not a match. Mr. President, today we welcome you here to thank you for your pivotal leadership in putting forward a proposal that got the backing of almost the entire world. A proposal that brings all our hostages home.
And so far, it looks like all the hostages have arrived. Again, I'll remind you that they're still waiting on some of the bodies to be returned to Israel. So again, everything looks like it is good. So that's one reason to celebrate. But President Trump having kind of a cringe moment here when he asked the Israeli president to pardon Netanyahu. Take a listen.
Hey, I have an idea. Mr. President, why don't you give him a pardon?
give him a pause. Come on. By the way, that was not in the speech, as you probably know. But I happen to like this gentleman right over here, and it just seems to make so much sense. You know, whether we like it or not, this has been one of the greatest wartime presidents. This has been one of the greatest wartime presidents. And cigars and champagne, who the hell cares about that?
Now, President Trump stepping in and obviously advocating for that pardon, but it's important to note that some of Netanyahu's biggest critics say that the war was escalated to avoid those criminal charges. In fact, when he was on trial, all of a sudden he started bombing Syria. And then suddenly his trial was put on pause. So advocating for him to be pardoned, most people would say, let's hold off and not get involved in that. But President Trump jumping the gun, it appeared. But again, all good news in regards to peace in the Middle East and pushing Benjamin Netanyahu to actually go forward with this peace agreement. So you can feel how you want to feel about that one. I just think it's important to call it out on both sides. And, you know, I know a lot of people are still really upset and rightfully so about what happened during this war. A lot of people do not think that Benjamin Netanyahu's escalation of the war was warranted. But again, this is something that Israel needs to decide for themselves, and the people of Israel need to figure it out. We cannot get involved in any of that, and that needs to be clear. That needs to be transparent. That needs to be the first major thing that we do is step away from that. Only Israel controls the future of Benjamin Netanyahu, and I think it's really important that we do not get involved and advocate for him to be pardoned. He needs to face his critics. He needs to face what's gone on here. And from October 7th to today, there's been a lot of things that he has been accused of. And rightfully so. And those who criticize him, of course, are referred to as anti-Semitic, but you could be critical of the Israeli government without being labeled as that. It's very important to remind you folks at home. So again, I don't want people to just think that all is well. These accusations need to be settled. They need to be settled. Now, President Trump obviously enjoying this moment because he's worked very hard for this. Members of his administration worked very hard in making sure that this war was put to an end. And laughable, the Biden regime was actually taking credit for getting to this point right now. Yeah, I know. I'll spare you the soundbite, but President Trump just laughing that one off. Obviously, they had no role in that, and they wanted to escalate all foreign wars because that's what they do. So it's funny that they want to take credit here and there for this, of course. Now, President Trump, before arriving in Israel, was asked some tough questions by the media, like, what's been harder for you, ending the war in the Middle East or ending these government shutdowns? And in clip six, well, here's what he said.
What's harder, peace in the Middle East or ending a government shutdown?
Well, I think the hardest is this. This has been going on for 3,000 years. The shutdown's only been for 10 days. So I think the shutdown, it's gotten to be almost customary, but we're taking care of it. We've got the military paid in full, and we're doing a lot of things. We're ending some programs that we don't want. They happen to be Democrat-sponsored programs, but we're ending some programs that we never wanted. And we're probably not going to allow them to come back. I think they made a mistake. I think they made a big mistake. This is really a Schumer shutdown because he's become sort of irrelevant and he wants to make himself relevant again.
Now, it's worth noting, Chuck Schumer, not a big fan of making sure our troops get paid. In fact, I'll play a clip for you later on the program. that highlights just that. But I also wanted to add this. There was a lot, and I didn't want to report on it because I didn't know if it was true or not, but there was a lot of reports, and I blame the Associated Press for this because they were the first ones to push this out, that went out there and said that the United States was actually going to put troops in Israel to make sure that this deal was finalized. And it didn't seem right because it didn't really seem to make sense. And so I reached out to the Department of War for comments, and they said that was false. In fact, we now know that it wasn't troops that they were sending to Israel. It was U.S. personnel. And in clip 7, J.D. Vance explains more as to why there will not be any boots on the ground. Take a listen.
We're not planning to put boots on the ground. What we already have is a U.S. Central Command. We already have people in that region of the world. They're going to monitor the terms of the ceasefire. They're going to monitor, ensure the humanitarian aid is flowing. They actually confirmed yesterday that Israel pulled back to the agreed upon lines, which of course is the first condition. The second condition, or the second term, is for the hostages to be released. So we have people in that region of the world who are going to monitor parts of this peace proposal, but the president is not planning to put boots on the ground in Israel.
What about Gaza? Will U.S. troops ever be sent into Gaza? Just yes or no?
That's what I mean, Kristen. He is not planning to put boots on the ground in Gaza or Israel.
Okay.
We're going to have Central Command troops that are already there that are going to monitor this peace proposal. We've actually had, and this is one of the great successes of the president's diplomacy, from Indonesia to the Gulf Arab states.
Okay.
We've had a number of Muslim majority countries offer to step up and have them put troops on the ground to secure Gaza. It's not going to be necessary for American troops to be in Gaza.
Did you hear that? Okay. So they're reaffirming that there will not be American troops in Gaza. That's very, very important. We know that the Biden regime actually did, in fact, send American troops to handle a dock that was actually not really efficient at all. Cost you, of course, millions and millions of dollars. It actually injured a couple of our troops as well. And it did not bring resources to the region like they promised you. But under the Trump administration, we won't be having any of that, in fact. And that is what we all want. We don't want our troops sent over to Gaza. We don't want them sent to Israel. We want this to end, and we want it to be over with. And we do not want the United States to be involved. And it looks like so far everything is okay. Everything is settling out. Now again, let's just be hopeful. Maybe things will finally be finalized and done. That's what we're hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. But I'm not the only one who's actually looking at the positive side of all of this. There's a strange moment where even Hillary Clinton seems to, and again, she probably just has to, but she seems to be very happy about this war coming to an end. Take a listen.
Secretary Clinton, let me start with you. Does this diplomatic breakthrough make you hopeful about what's next?
Nora, it does. It's a really significant first step, and I really commend President Trump and his administration, as well as Arab leaders in the region, for making the commitment to the 20-point plan and seeing a path forward for what's often called the day after. Most importantly, the conflict hopefully will end with the ceasefire. The hostages will be returned. And then the very hard work of rebuilding Gaza, of finding the kind of security that Israel and the Palestinians after Hamas deserve to have, moving forward with the other points in the plan to try to create an opportunity for Palestinians to have a better life and for Israel to have greater peace and security. I am very hopeful that we'll be able to see progress. Today's a good start, but we have to keep going from here.
You know, that pained her to do that. I mean, that literally hurt her because there's no other take that one could have. Even the corporate media has to side with President Trump on this. This is incredible. This is incredible. And best part, she's not pretending to give credit to the Biden regime. Not everyone could say that, of course. Some former members of the Biden regime are giving credit to Joe himself. Obviously, that's laughable. But Hillary Clinton now finally has to sit out there and tell you all what she doesn't want to tell you. President Trump didn't start World War III. In fact, he brought peace. He ended more wars than they've even started. And so you know that pains them deep down on the inside. Hillary Clinton has no other take that she could possibly make without looking like a purely evil woman. And so she has to go out there and congratulate President Trump, members of his administration. You see, Democrats could never. And it's because they didn't want this war to end. The more bloodshed, the better. In fact, that's why they continue to fuel the war between Russia and Ukraine. That war, President Trump has his eyes on ending very, very soon. But of course, they don't want you talking about it. They don't want you to even look at that one because they want that war to continue on. Because it's a proxy war. It's a war that they think they could help win and take out Russia with. But that one's coming to an end very, very soon. You see, our enemies respect President Trump because they fear him. On the other side of the aisle, though, that is not the case. There's not a single person who could have done what President Trump just did. That's because all countries speak business. President Trump understands that. He knows how to utilize that. And so whatever side you're on, everyone's celebrating today. Because it's enough with the bloodshed. Time to now fix these issues. Obviously, the hostages have been brought home. But it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And it's interesting to see play out. I mean, we're watching as it's happening in real time. There are so many new updates coming in throughout the day. I'm going to keep bringing you the updates on this show, obviously. But again, this isn't surprising. This is the moment we've been waiting for. This will go down in American history as the best moment we've ever witnessed. Now, President Trump is en route to Air Force One right now in Israel so he can make his way to Egypt to solidify the peace deal. We'll continue to follow that as it develops. But he is in his car on his way to the airport right now and is expected to land in Egypt in a few hours. Again, Benjamin Netanyahu's not going to be with him. He's not going. He's claiming that there's a Jewish holiday and he cannot arrive because of that. But the president of Palestine is going to be there. And others will be there to make sure that this is finalized. So, good news thus far. We're continuing to follow it, of course. And I'll keep my eye on that. But I want to bring you an update regarding the government shutdown. Now, folks, the government shutdown obviously is still ongoing. As many of you know, Chuck Schumer obviously doesn't want to give up health care for his illegal aliens. And that's why he's holding this one out. Democrats have found their new voter base. We talk about it all the time on this program. And Chuck Schumer actually isn't really happy with how President Trump over the weekend found a way to go around to make sure that our troops are being paid. In clip 9, you're going to hear Chuck Schumer react to the news. Take a listen.
Democrats, look, we want to pay the men and women in our armed forces, and the quickest way to do it would be for Johnson to come back and negotiate a bill that protects Americans' health care, and then everyone, our soldiers, our and armed service people, the people in the air traffic controllers, the guy who works for the federal government and doesn't make much money cleaning up the floors late at night, they'd all get paid.
It's laughable. It's laughable. See, those are the people who are holding our country hostage right now. That is the person doing just that. And he continues to say health care for Americans, but he cannot point out any fact that aligns with that. He can't. He can't. In clip 11, I want to play my conversation with Speaker Mike Johnson over the weekend. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson, when I jumped on a call with him, did in fact answer my question about Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, according to him, is going to continue this shutdown, and he's looking to continue it until, of course, after the No Kings rally. Now, I asked the speaker why he believed that and some more information. Take a listen.
Thank you, Brianna. Listen, Leader Scalise and I refer to this rally as the Hate America rally, not by its other name, because it's going to collect all the radical leftists in their party. You're going to have the Marxists there. You're going to have the Antifa advocates. Of course, you'll have the pro-Hamas wing. All the radical left will descend upon the National Mall in this one big cavalcade. And I tell you what, that has Chuck Schumer frightened to death. I mean, we have been hearing them in the back rooms among the Senate Democrats. They are discussing this openly, and they are terrified to reopen the government before all of those radical leftists show up on the National Mall because it would be a big price to pay. They're afraid. They can't take the incoming. They can't take the criticism. Chuck Schumer withered under that. for doing the right thing back in March when he voted for the last CR. Google that, and you'll get so many hits it'll take you all night to read. So that's why he's doing this, and we believe that that's probably good intel. They have no intention whatsoever of reopening the government anytime before October 18th.
Did you hear that? The speaker thinks that Chuck Schumer is afraid of his own left-wing terrorists. That tells you all you need to know. That tells you all that you need to know. And it looks like he will be holding out until the 18th. Again, we don't have to negotiate with Chuck Schumer. In fact, I'd argue that we disrespect him and just don't even give him a seat at the table. You see, that man is intentionally holding this country hostage, and he doesn't want our ICE agents, TSA agents, TSA could probably go away, troops to be paid. Yeah, of course, he's going to tell you, yeah, I want the troops to be paid, but he doesn't. He doesn't, because he wants to use them as a negotiation chip. You see, President Trump making sure that they were going to get paid. Even my bank, USAA, actually sent out a message to all of us saying that for service members who are active, if you need a loan with no interest, we'll give you a loan with no interest. And so people are trying to make sure that Democrats cannot continue to hold our service members hostage. It's absolutely incredible to see. I was actually very thrilled, and this is the reason why I continue to bank with USAA, because they are one of the very few who actually do put veterans first. And it is incredible, and I love it, and I support them. I've supported them since I was 16 years old, and I really do appreciate them as a company as a whole. Because I get it. And most people don't understand. Most people don't. Our service members do not make nearly as much as they should. And Democrats don't care. So they're always trying to cut back funding and make sure that they have crappy VA benefits. And when they go to get health care, it's not the best. It's actually really, really bad. So it's good to see President Trump holding line and making sure that Democrats cannot hold our service members hostage. Now, in clip 10, we're going to hear from J.D. Vance again, because J.D. Vance was making the rounds yesterday on Sunday morning shows. But most importantly, he again is asserting the fact that our government is only shut down because of those on the far left. Take a listen.
The reality is we have to remember, why are we in this situation, Margaret? All these conversations about whether it's a temporary layoff or a permanent layoff, we are dealing with a terrible, chaotic situation because Chuck Schumer and a few far-left Democrats decided to shut down the government. If they just joined with the moderate Democrats and the vast majority of Republicans, we can open up the government and all of these conversations will no longer be necessary.
Yeah. It's really that simple. We'll continue to follow the government shutdown as it continues. Again, I know most of you at home really aren't too upset about the shutdowns, unless you, of course, are someone who's contracted through the government, then yeah, you are. But again, we're going to continue to follow it as it develops. I don't think it's ending anytime soon, maybe later this week, but not as of yet. But all eyes are obviously on Israel. We're going to continue to bring you more stories on that. But don't go anywhere, because Robert Spencer is joining me in just a few moments. He is the founder of Jihad Watch, and he will be with us breaking down everything that's going on in Israel right now, as well as our business dealings with Qatar. So do not go anywhere. There is more to dive into. While you wait, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. There are incredible sales that are going on right now, and so many things that you're going to want to jump on and buy, and you can win a car potentially. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com.
You're not going to talk to me.
Fraud and non-New York residents.
Because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs, and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing, but it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon, and that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue this tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are excited that you guys are all here today. Happy Monday, everyone. A lot to be happy about today, because President Trump looks like has made good on his commitment to bring peace to the Middle East. But before we get too happy, we're going to dive into the details of everything, of course, because Israel did have to turn over 200 terrorists back to Gaza, and they have made their way back over. We have the footage. We'll play that for you in a little bit, but obviously everything else is good to hear. It's good to hear that the 20 hostages have returned to Israel, although there are certain reports saying that Hamas has not yet met their end of the bargain, reference to the bodies of the hostages that have not been brought back to Israel. We'll continue to follow that as it develops. So President Trump is en route right now to Egypt. He has just left Israel. We're following him throughout the day today, so make sure you stay put over on InfoWars. Now, it's good news. Let's focus on the good for now. President Trump obviously bringing peace to the region, something that many are going to lie to you and say that Joe Biden brought to the area. I was laughing this morning when I heard that the Biden regime was actually trying to create credibility for themselves by saying, yeah, we were the ones who actually started this. Like we weren't paying attention for these last, I don't know, 4 years. They have been the ones funding and encouraging foreign wars. So again, it's very laughable if it wasn't such a tragedy that these people are trying to take credit for what President Trump has just done. Remember when they told you that President Trump was going to launch World War III, that world leaders don't respect President Trump, that he's unhinged? Well, it looks like all of that was a lie, like you already knew. But it's interesting to sit back and watch it all play out. In clip 28, Vice President J.D. Vance had a very encouraging message for the rest of us. Take a listen.
But I think if you look at the dancing in the street in Gaza, if you look at the way that the Gulf Arab states, really the entire Muslim world, but also you look at how the Israelis responded. They were cheering at the mention of President Trump's name yesterday in a massive rally in Israel. This is one of those peace deals where Muslims and Jews and Christians all seem unified, that it's a really good thing for the world. It's a really good thing for humanity. And it happened because of President Trump's leadership. So I actually think this peace deal will make us safer. I'm sure there are going to be some hard feelings from the last couple of years of war. There always are. But if we can build a sustainable peace, Margaret, I am 100% sure Americans will be safer because of it.
Sounds all good. We like what we're hearing here, of course. Joining me now to discuss is Robert Spencer. He is the founder of Jihad Watch, and he is with us today to break down all things related to Israel as well as Qatar. And so we're very thankful for him today. Robert, it's good to have you on the program, my friends. We're excited because this has been long overdue. We're seeing that the 20 hostages have been brought back into Israel. And so that is something positive to focus on. Your reaction to what you've seen unravel this morning.
Well, it's all great. Yes, that's true. You're absolutely right. At the same time, we have to remember that the jihad imperative in Islamic law is not something that can be set aside by a peace agreement. Mm-hmm. There can be a peace agreement between a Muslim entity and a non-Muslim entity only when the Muslims are losing and they need time to gather strength. That's Islamic law. Now, you might say, well, sure, but people don't always follow the religious rules. They might have other considerations. And that's absolutely true. We have seen in the Abraham Accords and in other things that many of the Muslim majority states are willing to make agreements with Israel on pragmatic grounds. At the same time, Hamas is an Islamic organization, and so is Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They are based explicitly and fanatically on Islamic principles. And so one thing we can be certain of because of that is that this isn't the end, and there will be continued efforts on the part of people in Hamas, whether it's Hamas as an institution or individuals, who will continue to try to murder Israelis to the end of ultimately destroying Israel altogether.
Yeah, Robert, I wanted to ask about that too, because we're watching as President Trump is making his way to Egypt, and although Benjamin Netanyahu's not going to be there, he's not going to be present, he in fact is staying put because of the Jewish holiday he's citing. Apparently there's going to be a bunch of Middle Eastern leaders heading to Egypt to make sure that this is all finalized. What's your thought on that? Because again, it seems like they're creating the illusion that they're all on board with being peaceful with Israel, but it's like a false PR stunt, it feels like almost.
Well, you know, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, is quoted as saying war is deceit. And so I wouldn't be in the least surprised if it were a false PR stunt. We also have to recall that Qatar, as you mentioned earlier, Qatar is not only integral in bringing about this deal, but they also still have some of the surviving chief leaders of Hamas in their territory. And they were there celebrating on October 7th, watching the whole massacre unfold over video and getting down on their knees and praising Allah for being able to mass murder Israelis. And so this is not a country that we should be considering to be an American ally, much less an ally of Israel, because we have to remember the slogan, first the Saturday people and then the Sunday people. A lot of people are very upset because the U.S. is allied with Israel. They don't realize we're facing the same jihad they are.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that in just a moment, too, because that's really important that we understand what's going on right now, because the pull that they have, Qatar has right now in our government, is deeply concerning in regards to the airbase announcement that came out on Friday. But there's more. I mean, they look like they were a big role in bringing this peace agreement together. And I know that the Trump administration is pushing that forward, but that's not who they are. I just kind of wanted to go over a little bit more about the condition right now that Hamas is in. Obviously, they have lost this war. I believe Israel has done great damage to Hamas. How long do you think it's going to be before they start going back to launching attacks on Israel? Because it will take them some time to rebuild. And we're told that there's other Middle Eastern countries that are going to physically rebuild Gaza. But how long do you take before they go back to wreaking terror onto Israel?
Brianna, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened tomorrow. We should remember that it was just a couple of days ago that they tried to kidnap an Israeli soldier. And so even in the midst of negotiations to release the hostages who've just been released, they were trying to take more. And why not? They've seen that it works now. They get tremendous concessions. Those 200 terrorists that you mentioned before, what do you think they're going to do? Open stores? They're going to go back to being terrorists. And so this is only a matter of time. Whether it happens tomorrow or next week or in a year, we can be certain it's going to happen. If Vegas is opening betting odds on this, some people can make a killing because Hamas will certainly be trying to do so.
Yeah, and Robert, I want to show you this video that the Associated Press posted just moments ago. This tweet, it describes these individuals coming off the buses as freed Palestinian prisoners. It says that over 1,900 of these prisoners have been turned back over to the Gaza Strip. Over 250 of them were serving life sentences. Tell us a little bit about these individuals who are now freed.
Well, like you say, they're terrorists. These are murderers. These are rapists. These are people who have become heroes in Gaza, as well as in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, because they killed Israeli civilians. These are, as you saw, young men of military age. They are soldiers in a war that they believe still continues. And so they are going to go back to it. The vast majority of them are going to end up in the same situation as Yahya Sinwar, the Hamas leader who was killed some time ago. He was one of the prisoners in Israeli prisons who was freed in an earlier deal that was supposed to bring about peace. And he went right back to leading the jihad in Gaza and was a mastermind of the October 7th massacre. I wouldn't be in the least surprised if one or more of those people you just saw stepping off the bus do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. And it's very likely that that's going to be the case. Robert, before we go to the next topic, I wanted to get your take because President Trump just moments ago was calling for the Israeli president to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu. I know a lot of people are critical of Benjamin Netanyahu and what he's done throughout these last 2-3 years now. What are your thoughts on a potential pardon?
Oh, I think actually that was one great thing in Trump's speech, because the fact is that the persecution, the lawfare against Netanyahu is pretty much exactly cognate to the Russian collusion hoax, to the 2 impeachments, to the insurrection hoax, to all the things that the left tried to throw at Donald Trump to destroy him politically and prevent him from becoming president again. The Israeli left is just as crazy and evil as the American left, if not more so. And they have been trying to take out Netanyahu because actually they want to surrender the country to the jihadis, and they would do so if they got the chance. And so Trump is right to call for that. I hope the president of Israel, Herzog, listens and heeds because it's just a ridiculous prosecution from start to finish.
Okay, Robert, I want to turn over to what happened on Friday, because I know a lot of us were a little upset when we saw that obviously the Secretary of the Department of War, Pete Hegseth, was meeting with an official from Qatar. And ultimately, they were making an announcement in regards to us now training their soldiers on our airbase. I want to play clip 29 for you, because this is what got a lot of people upset on social media. Take a listen.
We further welcome today's signing of the letter of acceptance establishing a Qatari Amir Air Force facility and Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho. This step strengthens interoperabilities, enhance joint readiness, and advance our shared defense goals. Mr. Secretary, together we will continue to deepen the strategic partnership in pursuit of lasting peace and shared security. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. We wish you that.
Sign now.
Sign and trade. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously this caused a lot of people to get really upset on social media when they saw this unraveling on television. It looks like Pete Hegseth waited a couple of hours and then came out and said, you know, Qatar will not have their own base in the United States, and said that this is kind of a longstanding partnership that we currently do have. Your thoughts on all of this, because it's difficult to watch because we have an administration that obviously understands some of the issues within the Middle East, but it seems like, and Qatar has been really trying to play its way into the administration for a very long time now, making little investments, even in conservative media companies, trying to win over conservative allies and conservatives itself as if they are someone or a country that is our allies. I don't think this administration understands they're not our allies.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, it seems as if 10 years ago, President Trump understood this and he spoke about Qatar being a chief sponsor of terrorism. Now it seems as if he's forgotten all about that and doesn't realize that not only are they a chief sponsor of terrorism, but a chief sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is dedicated in its own words, according to a captured internal document, to eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within. Now, that is something that the Justice Department used to take seriously, even in the darkest days of the Obama administration. And now they are giving these people a free hand. They've done nothing to classify the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. All the Islamic groups in the United States are linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. And so it's just insane. And unfortunately, there's another shoe that's going to drop and it's not going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm really worried for. I'm really, really worried for that. I've sat back and I've watched as they've purchased access to a lot of really key people. Privately, they've been doing this for several years now, and it's ramped up over the last few months, and it's really unfortunate to see. I don't know if people understand that they're really selling our country out on this one, but Robert, I want to thank you for all the incredible work that you've done and that you continue to do. We appreciate you joining us this morning and kind of reacting to the news that's developing. So thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we are still keeping our eye on President Donald Trump as he makes his way right now to Egypt. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the region, so we'll continue to keep you updated. It's good to hear from Robert Spencer. You know, Robert is one of the very few fighters that we have out there who is exposing Islam and all of its terrorists that is, you know, spread all around the world. He has the guts to go out there and fight back. And he's paid the price for that one. You know, these people are terrorists. And I don't think people really understand when you come out and you speak openly about these terrorists, what happens to you? You're putting your life at risk. And Robert has dealt with that aggressively. They have gone after him, and he does an incredible job at Jihad Watch. Again, that's a great outlet for those of you who are looking to keep your eye on all of this, because a lot of stuff just they don't want to pay attention to it. They don't want you paying attention to it. And so you have to really follow key people who are exposing the truth. And so I highly recommend you follow Robert Spencer's work, of course. All right, I want to keep diving into the government shutdowns, because in Clip 12, it's laughable. But Hakeem Jeffries, he's not a very intelligent person, but that actually usually accelerates you within the Democratic Party. The dumber you are, the face of the party you become. We see that time and time again. There are some people within the left who are actually, I wouldn't say dumb, but they never get the attention. Now, why? Well, because obviously Democrats are looking to get stupid voters to continue to vote for them. And that's how exactly they've stayed in power for this long. Hakeem Jeffries is proof of just that. And he doesn't seem to understand why we're in a government shutdown in the first place. Take a listen.
Well, first of all, we don't view the current bill as anything other than a partisan Republican spending bill
that continues to gut the health care of the American people. It's at levels that you guys have already agreed to. A number of Democrats voted for this extension back in March. It's not adding or detracting anything. It's just continuing the levels of spending that currently exist.
Actually, it's not at levels that we agreed to. Democrats strongly opposed this legislation in the House because, in our view, it gut veterans' health care, gut funding for women, infants, and children programming, gut funding for affordable housing, and we know we have a housing crisis in this country. Housing costs are too high. It's not changing current levels.
Nothing's getting cut. It's at levels that you may not like, but it's about extending levels as they currently exist. Fair?
Right. We agree that current spending levels are unacceptable.
Ah, so he doesn't actually know what he's fighting against. Typical. Honestly, folks, they're not happy with the fact that illegal aliens aren't going to get health care. And that's where this fight begins for them. They want to make sure that these people, these aliens who do not belong in this country, are getting free health care access because they want them to stay in this country. That is their voter base. And so any logical person who's sitting back and watching all this unravel, especially if you're a government employee, I don't know how you sit there and you miss your paycheck this week and you go, well, at least Juan's getting free health care. No. That is not what we're supposed to be doing in this country. We're supposed to be putting America first. If you're a member of our service, if you are someone who has served this country proudly, you should have access to health care. If you're an American citizen, you should have access to health care. If you are not an American citizen, you should leave. You should leave because we're not going to give you access to our health care. In fact, it's the reason why hospitals are literally imploding. It's insane that this is the stance that and the hill that Democrats are willing to die on. And I don't think it's going to go well for them this midterm, of course. But maybe that's just what they're really banking on at this point. Maybe they're banking on the theft. You see, any level-headed person watching this issue right now would go, I've seen enough. I've seen enough. We're not going to continue to hold Americans hostage for non-U.S. citizens. But that's not the fight that Democrats are willing to take on. I think it's really interesting. Really interesting that they're continuing to push this. In fact, it's actually really working against Democrats. And we know this because cuts are coming and cuts have been made. And obviously Russ Vogt is really pushing for more cuts. I mean, that's the guy's dream, to unleash government cuts. Again, Vice President J.D. Vance, a clip 13, is making the rounds on Sunday morning shows, of course. And he's making us a commitment that if Democrats don't give up, more cuts will come. Take a listen.
The longer it goes on, Maria, the more significant they're going to be. If you remember, we went 9 days before announcing any significant layoffs. Again, the President of the United States wanted to reopen the government. He was trying to work with Democrats in order to make that happen. But the longer this goes on, the deeper the cuts are going to be. And Maria, to be clear, some of these cuts are going to be painful. This is not a situation that we relish. This is not something that we're looking forward to, but the Democrats have dealt us a pretty difficult set of cards. We're trying to do the best that we can with the shutdown situation that Chuck Schumer has left us.
So if Democrats want to keep all of their bloated jobs on the books, they better come to the table and negotiate. But again, today's date, it's only the 13th. The No Kings rally is coming up. We're about 5 days away from that. So I don't think Democrats are going to make their way to the table as of yet. Sadly, government employees, our ICE agents, our troops, well, they're the ones who are being held hostage in all of this. President Trump obviously making sure that it's a top priority, that our troops are not going to suffer the consequences for Democrats. But our ICE agents are taking a beating out there. And now they're not even going to get a paycheck this week. So our hearts are with them, of course. Our hearts are with them. Maybe this is a great opportunity for us to just completely toss out TSA, though. I don't think I've ever had an enjoyable experience at TSA. And their success rate is actually horrendous. So it would be a good argument to take up. I hope Russ Vogt picks that one up next, of course. All right, let's turn things over to some happier news. Letitia James, the New York AG, the communist who decided to make her main campaign promise to go after President Trump a reality. Well, she's on the receiving end of the lawfare, of course. And it's not even lawfare, I would say, on President Trump's part. I think it's accountability. You know, she loved saying no one is above the law. She loved sitting right behind President Trump during his civil trial and smiling and smirking. And she thought it was so cute to go after him and drag him off the campaign trail so he had to go through a BS civil lawsuit that he had no victims of, that no companies actually wanted this to happen for this whole theatrical day in court. But she wanted it. And she wanted to paint President Trump as a criminal when, in fact, according to the accusations she's facing, she, in fact, is the criminal. And so right now, Letitia James is taking on the burden of having to defend herself in court. She, of course, has been indicted for mortgage fraud. And unfortunately, and this is the difference between the left and the right. But unfortunately, what's going on right now is, well, New York Democrats have her back. And in the budget, they allocated about $10 million to go towards her legal defense. And so now she has $10 million to throw around and hire all the best attorneys to help her out. So that is massive. Now, this is the problem with us on the right. They let them burn through their personal finances, right? We know that when all these people were being dragged into the lawfare, they had to use their personal finances to go and fight it. They had to do gifts and goes. I mean, I think it was like Peter Navarro had to raise like north of $200,000 for his legal defense. And it was like a contempt charge. I mean, it was insane that he needed to raise that much money. But he had to. See, that's the difference, though. The left will continue to find ways to get creative and to funnel taxpayer money into their criminal defense. Now, again, let me remind you, Tish James isn't being accused of a crime that was committed while she was AG. This is about her personal matters. And so there is really no reason why she should be able to do this. But again, Democrats do not abandon their own. We see this time and time again. The individual running for AG in Virginia, he's sent some really egregious text messages. Guess what, though? Democrats aren't throwing him under the bus. Nancy Pelosi says, this is the best we got. The guy talking about putting a bullet in the head of his political opponent, someone he disagrees with politically, that's the best Democrats have in Virginia. Take notes. You see, the left doesn't abandon their own. They, in fact, back them. They make sure that their finances will not be destroyed, that they will not be taken out by these criminal accusations. You see, it's not looking good for Tish James. Tish James wanted to save a couple thousand dollars, and so she decided to not properly represent her business dealings in a mortgage. Those are the allegations she's currently facing. And now she has to fend it. Now, Tish James, we're going to play clip 14 for you. She had a very dramatic, as she always does, give a very dramatic response once she realized that she was indicted. Take a listen.
This is nothing more than a continuation of the president's desperate weaponization of our justice system. He is forcing federal law enforcement agencies to do his bidding, all because I did my job as the New York State Attorney General. These charges are baseless, and the president's own public statements make clear that his only goal is political retribution at any cost. The president's actions are a grave violation of our constitutional order and have drawn sharp criticism from members of both parties. His decision to fire a United States attorney who refused to bring charges against me and replace them with someone who is blindly loyal not to the law, but to the president is antithetical to the bedrock principles of our country. This is the time for leaders on both sides of the aisle to speak out against this blatant perversion of our system of justice. I stand strongly behind my office's litigation against the Trump Organization. We conducted a 2-year investigation based on the facts and evidence, not politics.
Liar, liar, liar. That woman is a troll. She is a liar. She belongs in prison, and we're excited to potentially send her there. All right, I got more on Tish James coming up. Don't go anywhere. We got more dived into on the American Journal.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at TheAlexShowStore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs, and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network Backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
Keeping our eye on President Trump at the same time, of course. President Trump has just left Israel. He is en route to Egypt right now to finalize this peace agreement. Now, although the Prime Minister of Israel will not be attending, all of the other Middle Eastern countries will also be present to make sure that the deal is signed. We just had Robert Spencer on the program just a few moments ago, and he thinks, you know, everything's all good, of course, but don't get your hopes up too high. We're talking about jihadists here, and they will continue to go out there and try to kill as many as possible. Now, as you just saw on your screen, Egypt is now escorting President Trump into the region. But those are 16 jets. I'm not a service member. F-16s. There you go. I was looking for the letter. It was in my head somewhere. There you go. Thank you, Matt, of course. So they are en route right now to Egypt. Exciting times for the president. He gave us a fist pump before he jumped on Air Force One and made his way over. He seems to be very excited, rightfully so. I mean, the hostages have been freed, and they've been brought back to Israel. Again, as we're watching the numbers come out, the details are starting to trickle out, but we're learning more and more. Israel has received 20 of their hostages, while over 1,900 prisoners have been released and sent back to Gaza. Robert Spencer telling you that those are jihadists, they're terrorists, and they will likely go back to killing. So again, it's important to know that we're excited about a peace deal, but we have to be realistic. And a part of being realistic is telling you the truth on this issue, and it is a very serious, serious matter, of course. Folks, we're keeping our eye, though, everything regarding this peace agreement. More coming. There was actually just some video released, it looks like, by the press secretary. She posted this CNN video of these hostages that have been freed. Some of them are in really bad shape, as one would assume, for 2 years being held by these jihadists. There was a CNN video. It's absolutely heartbreaking. I don't know if these people ever go back to being normal. Sadly, too, I don't know how many of these female hostages have been killed throughout all of this. What they've endured is probably horrific. Sadly, we're told several reports suggest that not all the bodies have been brought back to Israel. But again, there is some good news, and we're trying to focus on some of the good right now. We have a lot to focus on. The good is always really important. Later in the show, I'm going to bring to you a story that I think I'm the only American journalist who's actually covered. And it's a story about how bad things in Brazil have gotten. And obviously, you guys know Jair Bolsonaro is the former Brazilian president. He was looked at as President Trump to Brazil. A lot of people thought that he was the Trump version for Brazil. I believe his election was stolen, and it was a runoff, and the Supreme Court in Brazil handed it over to an individual who is a communist. And then they went after Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro is actually facing a very lengthy prison sentence right now, and he's not in good health. But they are trying their very best to throw him in prison, but they tried their very best to make people close to Bolsonaro turn. And one of those individuals, Felipe Martins, now, it's not a name you're probably familiar with, but he was a close ally to the administration. Interesting enough, the Supreme Court in Brazil held Martins in prison for several months without actually charging him with crime. If you're wondering why they were able to do so, they used fake Custom Border Patrol records suggest that he was going to flee if he was given the option to flee. So they use our Custom Border Patrol records, which we knew were false. We were telling them that they were false. Felipe Martins' attorneys were saying were false to justify holding him hostage. Now they released him. He's since, though, on house arrest with an ankle monitor, can't leave his home, can't talk to the media. But Felipe Martins is a story that is very important because it's what they want to do to President Trump. So his attorney is going to be joining us later in the show. And it's important because now the Trump administration is actually coming forward and calling out Brazil for using those false documents to justify the wrongful incarceration of Felipe Martins. Again, they want to do it to turn him, that he'd go after Bolsonaro. He didn't break, though. We'll be talking to his attorney in just a few moments as well. We're also taking your calls. We're taking your calls in the third hour of the show, of course. So do not go anywhere. We've got more to dive into on the American Journal. And we're kicking off the second hour in just a moment.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Kicking off the second hour of the show by keeping our eye on President Donald Trump, who's making his way right now to Egypt to finalize the peace agreement. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to be in attendance. He's citing the Jewish holiday, but a lot of key Middle Eastern countries will be present, and we'll bring you the updates as they continue to develop. You know, we just saw that Margo Martin was flying, obviously, with President Trump on Air Force One, and she gave us the updates that Egypt was actually sending their jets to bring and help to bring President Trump to the region. So we've got that update for you. Of course, we're also seeing tons of footage make their way to social media of a lot of these hostages, these 20 hostages being reunited with their family and loved ones. And so we'll continue to bring you those updates because we could use some positive in the world today, of course, and we'll focus on that, but we'll also bring you the truth as we always do. Folks, I want to remind you that you got to go right now and make sure you download the Alex Jones app. Go to alexjonesapp.com right now and join us. That's how we stay connected, of course. When you download the app, you're helping us stay at the top of the app charts, of course, but you're also staying in touch with us because we never know when these doors are going to close and it's off to our next project. So stay in touch with us. Download the alexjonesapp.com right now, right this second. You know, I know we're on the Apple Store, of course, but I also know we're going to be making our way into those of you who have Android phones. I don't know how you have an Android phone, but if you do, we'll be helping you out. I mean, I roast my sisters all the time. A couple of them, one of them just got an Android, actually, and left iPhone. I don't know how you ruin our group chats that way, but it's all right. We still love you anyway. All right, so we're keeping our eye on everything regarding Israel. As President Trump makes his way to Egypt, he did earlier in the day call for Benjamin Netanyahu to be pardoned. He asked the Israeli president to do just that. We also have Robert Spencer on the show, who gave us kind of a fair dose of the reality of what's happening right now. Although it's great and incredible to see these 20 hostages be released and sent back to Israel, the harsh reality is Israel had to give up over 1,900 prisoners. These are Islamic terrorists that they have now turned over back to the region. So again, these people will be back to killing once they're ready to go. And so there's a lot to be excited about, but there's a lot that we also have to be realistic on. And I think that's a big, big one. All right, let's turn back over to Tish James, because Tish James, obviously, I'm no fan of hers. As a former New Yorker, and I say former with some pride these days, because now I don't know how long you have to wait to be a Texan, but I'm just going to claim Texas. I don't know if you guys claim me yet, of course. But as a former New Yorker, seeing her get up there and go after President Trump, going after political opposition, really making it uncomfortable for anyone with disagreements politically to live in the state of New York, it's good to see that she is finally on the receiving end of all of this. Because let's be honest, folks, she's facing allegations that she's a criminal. And many of us New Yorkers who sat there and had to live under her, we all saw it. We all knew what she was doing. We all knew that she was someone going after her political opposition, that mean, nasty glare that she gave at President Trump during the civil trial, which she should have never done in the first place. But the goal was to take him off the campaign trail and to try to destroy his life. Well, she failed. But now it's her time to stress out, and rightfully so. You know, Tish James allegedly lied to obtain a very cheaper, I guess, mortgage. Although she's not really denying it, she's actually since kind of admitted to, but this is all lawfare is kind of how she's angling it. And Democrats, they're putting on their best civil rights voices when they're out there advocating for Tish James. I sat there and was laughing because New York Democrats, specifically New York City, the city council, kept sitting there talking like they were Martin Luther King Jr. advocating for freedom. That they were advocating for, I know it's easy to pick apart her appearance. I'll play nice. It's a happier day today. But Tish James is an evil, evil woman. And in fact, anyone who supports her, I would say, is just as evil as she is because she has tried her very best to destroy both President Trump and other conservatives who live in her state. And in fact, Chuck Schumer is now coming out in clip 15 and he's pretending like President Trump somehow, some way is a dictator for holding Tish James while holding her to the same set of standards she alleged that she was all about, which is no one is above the law. Take a listen.
It is just such a hallmark of tyrannical, autocratic dictatorship societies that they use the prosecutorial department as a political weapon. It is a disgrace, and every American, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, moderate, people should be forcefully rising up against this.
Rising up. You better rise up against this. That sounds like a call to violence. No surprise, of course, though, that is what the left is all about these days. They are violent, they are hateful, and they are breeding terrorists. But, you know, my good friend Mike Davis, I love Mike Davis. Mike Davis is a shark. If I had a perfect world where I could just make one wish, it would be Mike Davis for AG. Because if Mike Davis was the Attorney General of the United States, everyone would be in prison who went after President Trump, went after the American people, tried to launch an attack against our election process. The deep state would all be in prison. But Mike Davis isn't AG, unfortunately, but he does have a lot of influence. And so he joined my former boss, Maria Bartiromo, yesterday to kind of discuss what's next. And good news, there's a new grand jury he's talking about. Take a listen.
Mike, how far up the chain does this go?
I think it goes all the way up to the top, to President Obama, to Vice President Biden, to Hillary Clinton, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, so many players within the Obama and Biden administration. And I think it also includes the lawfare Democrats, these prosecutors who coordinated with the Biden White House to bring these indictments against President Trump.
And there's also a grand jury being prepared right now, right?
There is a new grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, and that would be a good place to do this grand jury investigation for what they did to President Trump.
Okay.
The Mar-a-Lago raids the hook.
This is why I love Mike Davis. He's keeping it true. He's keeping it real. He's telling the American people what we need to hear. You see, we need to hear about the grand juries going on so that we know that we have faith that everything that DOJ is doing is to hold people accountable. Now, although those on the left will sit there and say, oh, this is just President Trump going after those who decided to go after him. No, no, no. This is the accountability tour. This is for everyone who tried to destroy this country, break us down, who decided to go not only after President Trump, but go after innocent Americans who did absolutely nothing wrong. That's what you're seeing play out right now. A grand jury, especially in that region in Florida, would be amazing. You know why? Because those who live in that district, well, they bleed red. See, that's what Democrats do all the time. They make sure they get you in a district that you really don't have a chance of winning in when you're a conservative, of course. And so that's the reason why they're able to land so many convictions. And if you're someone who was accused of trespassing on January 6th, you know what I'm talking about. So it's good to see that this is finally happening. Can't wait to see who gets indicted in this next grand jury. But it's important to note, and I'm not going to allow this to pass, although I think Mike Davis is an ally of Pam Bondi's, and I have nothing against that, I will tell you that my sources have been very, very direct in regards to all of this. These indictments that you're seeing, and both obviously James Comey, you're seeing Tish James, there's very little support coming from the DOJ as a whole. In fact, it's up to these local districts to really handle the bulk of the indictments. And so although you'll see Pam Bondi going out there and getting credit for this, she's not the one who's really pushing. And in fact, there's a lot of internal issues right now with Pam Bondi, and not just Pam Bondi, obviously, Todd Blanche. who's a deputy AG. There's a lot of issues with two of them. Now, here's my thing. I don't know why they'd be doing this, because they knew exactly what they were signing up for, one must assume. Maybe they're fearful. Maybe they're fearful of Democrats going after them. And that's why they're not trying to go full speed ahead with holding these people accountable. But we've only got one shot at this. This is the moment. You need to get their trials going now. You need to make sure that you have it before President Trump leaves the White House. Because if we don't win the 2028 election, guess what? There's a Democrat who goes into office. They're going to drop everything and clear their people. The American people deserve better. We deserve accountability, and we must hold those accountable who tried their very best to destroy this country. All the deep state operatives need to go to prison. No exceptions. Every single one of them. And so I love to hear from Mike Davis. I love the encouraging message about the new grand jury that just popped up. And we cannot wait to see who it takes out next. People need to go to prison for this. We cannot continue to allow this to happen without these people going to prison. Better get that message, Pam Bondi. Because we're not going to sit here and allow you guys to just pretend like the bare minimum is acceptable. It's not. It's not. This needs to make its way up to the top person. And we're not throwing anyone under the bus to protect Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. That's what needs to happen. Let's turn to some positive news. I want to make sure we highlight this because this was a big one. This was a big one. On Friday, Melania Trump came out. She made a very impressive announcement. The First Lady says that 8 kids that were displaced due to the Russia-Ukraine war have since been reunited with their families. Now, if you remember, the beautiful First Lady sent a letter, a handwritten note to Vladimir Putin, President Trump delivering that note, of course. And she wanted to make sure that this was a top priority, that reuniting the hundreds of kids that have been displaced with their loved ones was a top priority. Many don't even realize how bad it's been for these children. Well, Vladimir Putin, according to everything, has since made that possible. 8 Ukrainian children kept in Russia were reunited with their families. 3 children separated due to the frontline fighting. 5 were separated from families across the border due to conflict. Again, that letter was sent in August. And Melania Trump saying that she was in communication through back channels with Putin and his team to make all of this happen. In clip 17, Melania Trump explains how this deal came about. Take a listen.
Each child has lived in turmoil because of the war in Ukraine. 3 were separated from their parents and displaced to the Russian Federation because of frontline fighting. The other 5 were separated from family members across borders because of the conflict, including one young girl who has now been reunited from Ukraine to Russia. I have learned a lot about this matter during the past 3 months. Russia has demonstrated a willingness to disclose objective and detailed information reflective for the current situation. The Russian Federation provided biographies and photographs of each child involved in this week's reunification, along with an overview of the social, medical, and psychological services afforded to the Ukrainian children.
It's incredible to see the First Lady advocating on behalf of these children. She is one of the best First Ladies we've ever had, and I highly recommend everyone follow her on social media, because I don't think people give her enough credit for all the great that she's done in this world. In fact, and I'll kind of, you know, do the shameless plug, but this is the reason why I put together a coffee table book to highlight Melania Trump, both her best looks, both her most incredible moments throughout her time as First Lady in the first administration. So if you want to head on over to Amazon and celebrate the First Lady and all of her accomplishments, you could search my name, just Brianna Morello, or Elegance in the White House, Melania Trump. She's just a beautiful First Lady. She doesn't get enough credit for all the great work she's done. She's also really intelligent, speaking multiple languages. Most Americans can't even master English. I can't even master English, but she somehow, some way has been able to do just that. And it's really incredible. She needs to be celebrated. You know, we talked about it on this show. She should be getting the cover of Vogue, But they didn't want to give her the cover, of course, because all the liberals at Vogue would have walked off. I think that would have been more of an incentive to do it. Would have made Vogue popular again, of course, but they have decided to, so far, not to give her the cover. But she deserves every magazine cover. She's classy, she's beautiful, she's intelligent, she's fighting for children all across the world, and that is something that is worth celebrating. All right, folks, I want to remind you all that we will be taking calls in the next half an hour. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to be listening to you, talking to you. If there's something that we covered, you want to kind of elaborate on that, we're going to keep it to the stories that we've been discussing on this program. Give me a ring right now. I've got a lot probably to discuss. 877-789-2539. I have to make a little jingle to that. I do. So give me a call right now. We'll be taking your calls for a bit. I also want to bounce on over to New York. A lot going on there. As a former New Yorker, I think it's important that we pay attention because there's a big issue here. When it comes to eliminating cash bail, as the left always likes to say, it puts a lot of Americans at risk. It truly does. And they don't want you calling it out because here's the thing. It doesn't just affect New Yorkers. It affects everyone across the country. You see, the goal for New York Democrats was to eliminate cash bail all across the country. And so they used New York as their little sample. We're going to play clip 18 for you because it's a news package about a violent criminal who's given multiple times to reoffend, I believe over 4 dozen. And as a result of that, well, sadly, a cancer survivor is now dead. Take a listen.
At the time, the then 22-year-old was charged with attempted murder, assault, and criminal possession of a weapon. The incident taking place at a deli in Gun Hill Road, Bowler throwing a drink container at a worker and then striking another worker with a pistol before taking off. Fast forward to the top of this year in January, when police say Bowler cut off 4 fingers of a man using a machete. And in this video, you see 2 men arguing over barking dogs. One of them takes out a machete and swings it at the dog. And when the owner stepped in to protect his pet, 4 of his fingers were severed. Bowler's violent spree did not stop there. He is facing charges for another attack after a motorcycle crash with a 52-year-old woman in Queens that turned deadly back in March. According to police, Bowler left the scene. He's now facing 6 charges for that incident, ranging from leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death to operating a motor vehicle without a license. Now, according to court documents, Bowler is expected to be back in court this month for that machete incident and back in court in November for the deadly incident in Queens.
Courtesy of News 12, thank you for that clip. Thank you for that update. It's interesting, though, because this is what's going on all around the country, right? Like, this individual given time and time again, given chance after chance after chance to reoffend, go out there and cause problems for people. Literally chop off someone's fingers. They don't care. Run around with a machete. They don't care. But now, sadly, a cancer survivor is dead. And it's thanks to New York Democrats. But again, it's not just New York Democrats. This is what they wanted for the rest of the country. This is what they wanted for the rest of the country. They want the rest of us to live amongst this garbage and be accepting of it. Your quality of life means nothing to them. And how dare you try to defend your animal when a man pulls out a machete? See, this is what New York Democrats do. This is what Democrats do across the country. But specifically in New York, I want to highlight this story for you as well, because if you missed it, this is a big one. New York has been giving out driver's licenses, and they're actually being sued by the DOJ for this, to illegal aliens. You could literally go to New York and get a driver's license, even a CDL, with no name. Take a look at this illegal alien from India who came to our country, went to New York, tried to obtain a driver's license. And guess what? His ID says, no name given. No name given. Oh, so it's just optional. Just optional. He doesn't have to give a name. Oh, and in case you're wondering, that is a commercial driver's license. Courtesy of New York Democrats. Now, again, New York Democrats were sued by DMV workers about this because they didn't have any type of way of vetting the materials they were being given, these foreign documents. And so they wanted a way to kind of figure it out. But of course, they didn't want to do that. And this is the problem, right? Because it doesn't just affect New Yorkers. They take these licenses and they go outside of the state of New York. And so it affects all of you. I know everyone's always like, why do we continue to cover what's going on in New York? Because this affects all of you. He's not just staying put in New York. He went to Indiana. He was busted in an ICE raid. How many people are given government documents with no name? It's optional, though, for them. But for you, it's mandatory. In fact, you have to get your real ID. You have to comply with this digital takeover. But if you're an illegal alien, don't worry. Maybe we should all be doing that. Head over to New York. Say you don't have a name. Request a driver's license from them. I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous, but it's happening. How many terrorists were given these driver's licenses? I bet you there's a lot. I bet you there's a lot. Folks, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I'm going to start singing that phone number for you soon, but we're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. So give me a ring. And if we get like too many calls, maybe we'll take it into the third hour of the show. I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe we do a lot of calls today. We hear from you guys. So give me a ring, of course. Oh, how did I forget this story? I can't forget this story. All right. The communist running right now for New York City mayor. You might know his name, Zohran Mamdani. He is taking, allegedly, illegal donations. He's being called out right now by the New York Post, who's done an incredible job at holding his feet to the fire. And I'm told that there's also going to be more news on Mamdani later this week, which we'll be covering. But apparently he took nearly $13,000 from illegal foreign donations, including one from his mother-in-law, who lives in Dubai, the Post has learned. At least 170 of nearly 54,000 contributions apparently are illegal. Now, again, these are allegations, and we'll figure out how this all lands for him. I don't think he's going to go to prison for it, of course. But all of the people who hate us are funneling money to this man. Just to put this in perspective a little bit, he has raised $4 million in private donations, scored another $12.7 million in public matching funds. I mean, this is insane. He's got about a month left to go. He currently right now has $6.1 million on hand. Again, people that hate this country would love to see this communist rise to the top. The mayor of New York City, one of the biggest cities in our country. It's an absolute sad day for New York. Sad day for this country when someone like this comes here with all this hate in his heart, who's never actually had a real job, and continues to get a platform to spread his Marxist agenda. He might potentially be mayor of New York City. Our only hope, and it's so like, to say it out loud, our only hope is Andrew Cuomo. Gosh, the guy who killed grandma? Yeah, that's all we have in New York City right now. That's all we have in New York City right now. It's sad. It's really sad. But I guess, I mean, out of both of those communists, we're going to go with Andrew Cuomo. Oh, this was such an embarrassing moment for this beta. Such an embarrassing moment. All right, guys, we're taking your calls in just a moment. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I've got my eye on President Trump. We're watching him as he makes his way to Egypt. Also want to remind you all to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. That's the alexjonesstore.com. There's so many great things that you want to buy in on right now. And you can win a sick ride potentially. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and help us fund our next operation when they decide to lock the front door. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me. Because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, but I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. You've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com. itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more.
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
The second half of the second hour, and we're going to kick off by taking your call. So welcome to the show. If you're just jumping on with us, we appreciate it. We're keeping our eye on President Donald J. Trump, because he's making his way right now to Egypt. President looks like just arrived or is arriving. We'll keep you updated, of course, because this is going to be a very historic day for the administration. They have gone through and brought peace to the Middle East for now. But President Trump making sure that both Israel and Hamas make good on their commitment. And he is there in person to do just that. So we'll keep our eye on that. And if he starts to speak, I will bring it straight to you, of course. But we're taking your call. So in case you haven't done so already, give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. You know, one of my friend Jonathan, actually said that this is his favorite part of the show, and he gets to hear from all of you guys. Probably should take that personal. But we're excited. It's one of my favorite parts of the show, of course, because I get to meet all of our great listeners. And first one up is Savage Dog from Georgia. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. Things are going well over here. How's everything with you in Georgia?
I'm blessed, ma'am. first of all, since you won't say it, I will. You're talking about big donut-eating commie DEI poster child Tish.
Big Tish.
You won't say it, but I will. Yeah, big Tish. <baby. laughs> All right, so what? I'm sorry. The reason I called, I got a solution for this government shutdown and everyone after. And I'm labeling it the 10th Amendment Project. And I'd like to know if there's any conservative think tanks out there who'd like to take this up, because I'm just a dumb redneck, so I don't really know what I'm doing. It's like, to quote the movie The Way of the Gun, I don't think this is a brains kind of operation. But, okay, so my plan is, let's go back to the ultimate constitutionality. The purpose of the federal government is basically four things: national defense, foreign treaties and trade, settling disputes between states, and border security, and that's it.
Yeah.
Giant chunks of our federal budget have to do with like Medicare, education, things that the federal government should have nothing to do with. So if we cut out everything in the federal budget that's not these four things, and then plus other things like, you know, FBI is a form of national defense, you know, you got some peripheral things, but we could almost, if not completely, eliminate the federal income tax, and then states can implement their own state income tax rates, depending on what programs they need and what they're doing with tourism or whatever. Like Florida's got zero, I think Texas has zero. And then U.S. citizens can move to whatever state suit them best for their needs. Federal, excess federal money from tariffs and whatnot can be given to states on some kind of fair basis. Maybe like have a cap for population. You could also give money. The federal government could give money to churches for local charity, which is the best way to give charity money, is to churches, because they take care of their community. It's the way it was 150 years ago. The problem is, you're going to need the federal legislature to pass this. They're not going to do it. And it may require a constitutional Congress, which is always a very dangerous nuclear option. And the other danger that I see in this is that it could cause like a secession scenario, where California, Oregon, Washington, all the northeastern states, they can't afford their own welfare state, and so they secede. Well, no, that's cool with me. We don't really need you. Sorry, New York.
hey, no, I'm kidding. I'm out of there.
Well, not the whole state. You know what I mean? Like California is like dark Georgia red, except for three or four locations, right? So, you know, you can have your own little city states. You want to be Troy? You want to be freaking Sparta? We are Sparta. Try to kick one of us, high testosterone MAGA savages into a well, you're going to get a foot broke off. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, but I'm just, that's my plan. That's the thing I just brainstormed. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do you know any conservative think tanks that might take this up? Because that's something I don't know.
Well, Savage Dog, my friend actually just texted me, Jonathan, who loves these segments, and he said he'd actually vote for you. So let him know when you're running. I don't know of any conservative think tanks, honestly, at this point. I know a lot of them have been pulled into the administration. I don't know. I don't know. I like the idea, though. I think if you start circulating on social media, this will take off. I think most level-headed conservatives would agree with you on this. It's going to be a tough sell, though, for those moderate to rhino-ish Republicans. But I like the way this is going. I think this is what the government's meant to do. How to be funded.
The beauty is nothing really, really gets cut. It just shifts the onus on from me in Georgia paying for some meth head in California to be homeless. Yeah. It shifts it from that to California taking care of their own meth head homeless, right? So, yeah. If I'm living in my little southern community and there's some folks around here that need help, I belong to a church.
Mm-hmm.
I give to the church. When the pastor comes up and says, we got a brother or sister that is hurting, wants to come to Christ, but needs help to get back on their feet, boom, I give them $100. you know, and that is where it helps. Me giving it to the federal government to give to freaking gay parades in Guatemala, or how to chop off your pecker and throw it in a blender in some African country, I ain't down for that. That's not where my money should go.
Yeah.
I'm from Georgia, and I belong to one of the several states. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, especially on the left. We're a constitutional republic of a conglomeration of the several states, and that's in the Constitution. You know, we're not the United States unless you break it down to exactly what that phrase means. United, we are states, individual states, who are united under a federation that is centralized by a constitution.
Yeah.
That's basic civics. They don't understand basic civics. Well, people need to go to Hillsdale College and start taking their free courses on the Constitution and stuff like that, because people don't get it, because we're taught communism. And like I always go back to my first call that I gave, that I sent to you on your first day. We need to have McCarthy-like hearings to root out communism, because that's what's killing us. Satanic communism. Anyway, that's all I got for today.
All right, Savage Dog. Well, listen, if you keep talking like this, people on this show are going to want you to run for office. So we're going to need you to run for office. Sorry to ask that of you in this beautiful Monday morning, but thank you for calling into the show. I appreciate your insight as always. We're also keeping an eye on President Trump. He's making his way right now. He's in Egypt. He's making his way over right now for the signing to finalize this phase one of the peace agreement. Obviously a very big day. We'll keep our eye on it. If President Trump begins to speak, we will jump to that. Guys, give me a ring if you haven't done so already. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. All right, I'm going to take my next caller, Jay in Indiana. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, you can hear me 5x5? Everything's good?
I can. Hey, Jay.
Hi. Good to see you again. Always good to see you.
Yes.
I have a couple of things. One, I'm grateful that when he was in Israel, it didn't turn out like, Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin there. Nothing crazy happened, but there was a protester. My brother called me. I was looking at it. I didn't see it yet. I was going to see it, but I think the guy's got a lot of. He's either real secure with himself or real stupid. But and I was watching the feed. I'm in a truck, you know, so I was watching the feed through YouTube, and the things people were writing. Some were good, some were bad. And, I mean, I voted for Donald Trump, of course, and. I'm grateful that he's trying to get this all straightened out and stop all the crazy murders over there.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? There's so many topics. You know, Mike Lindell with Alex Jones there. You know, the same scenario with Mike Lindell. I've contributed a little money to both them and a couple of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and. I try to spread a little love for all of them, and the world's just a crazy place. I'm suffering a little bit from pollen, I think, and I've taken 10 different supplements every day. Eight of them are from Alex, and I love them all. And yeah, I think you're doing a real good job on there. And I can go on and on, but I'm not gonna. But I'm just hoping that nothing crazy happens in Egypt. And I hope that he gets out of there and everything's good. You know, he did two things. One was, you know, he did say, if they're not home by 6 o'clock last Sunday, you know, it's going to be hell. And maybe he scared them a little bit. But, you know, that was already over a week ago. But at least the live hostages are home, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. First off, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it as always. And we're excited that you love the vitamins. And we're excited that you do include this in your daily routine. So thank you for that, Jay. You know, and I also love the fact that you've supported the Oath Keepers, Proud Boys. Obviously, I'm friends with a lot of those guys. And they're great patriots, nonviolent. And they are people who have stepped to the front of the line when we needed them to do just that. And so they're worthy of that. But, you know, we're keeping our eye. I was a little nervous hearing President Trump going to the Middle East, of course, and I'm sure so many others were as well. And so, we're very hopeful that President Trump will get in and get out as he makes his way through Egypt right now. But we are very hopeful that President Trump will, enjoy this historic day. He's worked very hard for this moment. And so we do hope it's everlasting peace, but we know, these jihadists don't want that. They don't want that. They want a good reset, and, they will be back out to going out there and killing people that are not Islam, Islamists like they are. So, we'll keep our eye on that. Jay, thank you for calling the show. I appreciate it as always. Of course, Chris in North Carolina, I want to welcome you to the program today.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Can you
hear me okay?
I can. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was just, you were talking a while ago about Melania being on Vogue magazine, and I was thinking about that and also thinking about Trump and the Nobel Peace Prize. Neither one of those institutions deserves those two people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, why, you know, why should Melania stoop down to Vogue and, let them make money off of her being on their magazine, and Trump taking the Nobel Peace Prize, comparing it to others that have recently won it? It would be a stoop down for both of those to have those positions.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy because, the Nobel Peace Prize, I remember used to be an honorable award to get, and now it's absolutely worthless. It's just really upsetting, you know, because you used to think that this was a really good thing to have, and it was one thing that would unify the world. And sadly, they've just allowed it to kind of just go to crap. I mean, they have no credibility these days, and it's really unfortunate. I know we actually, the leader or the opposition leader in Venezuela who is given this award, I am looking for it right now. Clip 23, we could actually play it with you on the line because Maria Machado actually did a Fox interview yesterday, and she actually believes that President Trump deserves it. Take a listen.
And they decided to dedicate it to President Trump because he deserves it. Because not only has he been involved in only a few months in solving 8 wars, but his actions have been decisive to have Venezuela now at a threshold of freedom after 26 years of tyranny that have destroyed the lives of millions of Venezuela, destabilized the region, and undermined institutions in the United States, because having Venezuela as a safe haven of the enemies of the United States and using our territory and our resources to hurt the American people and American institutions is certainly a threat to the national security of the United States and the security of the hemisphere. But President Trump has been very clear, courageous in terms of dismantling these criminal structure. And on behalf of the Venezuelan people, I reaffirmed our gratitude and our commitment to this cause for the whole America. So I insist he deserves it.
So I think it's pretty impressive to hear her, and I'll let you react, Chris. I think it's really impressive to hear her come forward and say that President Trump actually deserves the award. Your reaction to those comments?
Well, it's very humbling for her to be able to, for her to say that. And I think, she is very gracious to say that.
Yeah.
And I bet you they're disappointed that she's saying that. But anything that you look at, anything that the left or the woke, whatever you want to call them, gets involved in, they always just destroy it. They always demean it. They never build up. They always tear down.
And
like, you know, the honor that it used to be. I mean, I remember growing up, I mean, wow, you know, about Peace Prize, you know, it was a big thing. But I am gracious and thankful that she did say that this morning. I'm not knocking that, that she hasn't done some great things.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, President Trump, if you look at it, he's done so much.
Yeah.
He's done so much in such a short time. And if everybody would get behind him the way that they should, there's untelling what could really be done.
Yeah. He somehow figures out how to solve these complex issues. And, you know, as the opposition leader in Venezuela, they tried to arrest her. So she's definitely someone who, I give a lot of credit to as well. So it's incredible to hear her talk about that. You know, we understand that this is a really bad situation. You know, President Trump's not even willing to work with Maduro. Obviously, they have declared that he is, I believe he's still on the most wanted list right now. There's still a bounty, I believe, on his head as well. So, they understand what's going on in Venezuela and they're refusing to even get oil from them as well. So it's interesting to see how President Trump is not letting up on that issue. Chris, I want to thank you for calling in to the show. Of course, we appreciate your perspective on that. Chaz in North Carolina, I hear you have a lot to say about illegal aliens, so welcome to the show.
Yeah, I heard you talking about these folks that are going up there and they can get these IDs, even commercial driver's licenses, and they don't even have to put their name on them.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, we have a photo of it. Yeah, there's a couple of them, too. They've done it. I think we've caught two so far. But apparently New York has issued a couple of hundred of these.
So, yeah, back on the 2nd, October 2nd, I went to go get my real ID because my birthday last month, my regular driver's license expired. And for the time being, with the job that I do, the military bases had still been letting me come in and out of the military base, and I was able to go in and out of the port with my TWIC card, which with TWIC, you have to give up your fingerprints, you have to do a background check. It's even more thorough than getting a real ID. So I go to get my real ID, and over the phone they told me, oh, just bring your birth certificate and your old ID. And I get there, and I sit there for hours, obviously, and I get up to the guy, and we're trying to get this done real quick, and then he tells me I also need proof of residency. I need a bill or some kind of other documentation that shows that my address on my old ID is my actual residency. And I just think it's ridiculous that I have to go through all this mess as a United States citizen who was born here 29 years ago. As far back as I know, my family, part of my family at least, has been here since 1668. Christopher Nutter got a land grant from the king in what is now Bridgeville, Delaware. It's just ridiculous. You know, I have family that came here as recently as 1918, and they even changed their name to sound more American. But these other people, they could just come here and get an ID, and they don't even have to put a name on it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and one must think, like, what's the end goal here when you allow people to come into your country illegally and then you allow them to obtain driver's licenses to work here and to be able to board flights and to do things in this country? I mean, I honestly have to think of the worst scenario with all of this, possibly encouraging a terror attack to take place on U.S. soil, which would then encourage lawmakers to push forward more privacy-grabbing legislation that infringes on your rights, as they did with the Patriot Act, because they were able to ride on that emotional roller coaster after 9/11. So that's the only goal I could actually think of as to why they would allow this, because they're asking for more information from you, the American people, to present the DMV than they are foreigners. Do you have any type of maybe thought as to why they'd be doing this? Because, I mean, my mind just goes to the worst place possible.
Well, I live in North Carolina, and, you know, the Governor Roy Cooper quietly, a lot of people around here didn't even know it, but Governor Roy Cooper quietly, I think it was in 2022, made North Carolina a sanctuary state. And even though Donald Trump won the vote here by like a million votes or nearly, I can't remember off the top of my head. He won by a good margin. And then somehow Robinson, I believe, the Republican candidate for governor, lost the vote here by a larger margin than what Donald Trump won by, which I don't understand. But this new guy, Josh Stein, he's Roy Cooper 2.0. He doubled down on the sanctuary state policies and passed executive orders to basically make local law enforcement not comply with ICE. And if an illegal alien here gets arrested, they're not going to report him to ICE. It doesn't matter what he gets charged with. So I think it's just this political philosophy of treating these foreigners like they're something special. Yeah. They don't have to abide by the same standards and rules. And what if these guys, what if he's not a terrorist? What if he's just got like narcolepsy or epilepsy? He's driving 60,000 pounds of metal down the road and he's, you know, they have no idea who these people are.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't get sued. There's no going after these politicians who push for this stuff. They can't get sued. And so that's the real problem here. And it's infuriating. Chaz, I want to thank you for joining the show today. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. I'll be taking the calls into the next hour, of course, as well. So if you're on hold, stay put. Don't go anywhere because we'll be taking you in about 10 minutes, I'll guesstimate. So don't go anywhere. We're keeping our eye, too, on President Trump. He has arrived in Egypt. He's making his way right now to do that incredible peace agreement, the phase one. And there's so many Middle Eastern countries that will be present, and they're bringing their leaders, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. When he begins to speak, we will bring that to you. I want to also remind our audience that you have to download the Alex Jones app right now. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us, regardless of what happens here. We are preparing for our next operation. The best way to do so is to download our app. So head on over to the alexjonesapp.com. Also, while you're just hanging out waiting for the third hour to kick off, go over to the alexjonesstore.com as well, because we have so many incredible items you may not even realize that we sell on the Alex Jones app, on the alexjonesstore.com, that you might want to go and grab right now. We've got that great contest going on. Anytime you make a purchase, you enter to win this contest of these really cool whips. I'm a big Jeep fan these days, and so this is definitely a good one that you're going to want to go and get your name into this contest. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and do just that. All right, we got a lot more happening. Obviously, as we make our way into the third hour, I'm still going to be taking your calls, so give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We will also continue to be following, obviously, what's going on in Egypt. And then we've got some more stories I'm going to be talking about as well, because I posted it on Twitter, like, as soon as I got the letter from the White House, that President Trump had his medical exam, and he took the COVID booster. Now, that obviously exploded on social media Friday night. I want to make sure everyone saw it. I'll be talking about that in just a few moments as well. And we've also got our eye on a couple of other things, like people pushing Kamala Harris to run in 2028. I'm one of them. Run, Kamala, run. We could always use Kamala Harris in the race. So we're going to be kicking off a lot in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. We got the third hour of the American Journal kicking off in just a few moments. So stay put.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at the alexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's
pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quang quang kong, whatever it is. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga bak, woom kong kong. That'd be really good.
Board. It's a great Monday morning. Peace in the Middle East looks like it's happening. President Trump just got to Egypt, and he is now sitting down. So we're looking forward to hear if he speaks. Obviously, he is the big person behind this push to end the war between Israel and Palestine. Let's take a listen to what President Trump has to say.
Talk about the debris. I use the word debris. That's debris times 10. So, but we're going to... They're going to really do a job. They have a lot of power. In another room, you have the wealthiest, some of the wealthiest nations in the world. All leaders, the big leaders are here, the emirs and the kings and everybody. And it's a very interesting group. I guess we have like 35 countries. And that's only because they were the 35 that we invited. Everybody that we invited came. So it's there's a lot of respect. And I think you'll see some tremendous progress, both in the Middle East. This country is doing very well. It has good leadership. It's about leadership. And it's really nice when you say, how is your crime situation? And they, like, don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean crime? We don't have crime. Because if he has crime, he puts it out very quickly. Some people think that's not nice, but I think it's great. Because people don't want to be mugged and smashed, and they don't want to be stupid people. They have a place that is doing very well. We're very proud of them because we knew each other from the beginning. The first time I met, it was in a hotel, and I was going to meet him, and then Hillary Clinton was following me. Remember that? Hillary Clinton. And he liked me so much, he never even got to see Hillary. He saw her for about 2 seconds. But he didn't really want to waste a lot of time. He knew what was going to happen. But that was the first time we met, and we had a very good chemistry together. And it continues till today. So I want to thank you all very much. I appreciate the way you covered the this really momentous. I've never seen anything like it. The level of love, the level of respect for what it is, and it's, you know, it's peace in the Middle East, and everybody said it's not possible to do, and it's going to happen, and it is happening. It's before your very eyes. And that's why it's become so fascinating. Marco, do you have anything to say?
Egypt's been a phenomenal participant. I think both Steve and Jared will tell you the critical role they've played, and they can tell you themselves. They hosted the talks here, and they're going to play a very important role now in the follow-up, the implementation of this, which is really, it's not simply about restoring Gaza. It is about transforming the region. So we have an incredible partner, a long alliance, very capable partner here, and a tremendous collection of leaders. This is clearly, in my mind, I think in the mind of everyone in this room, probably one of the most important days for world peace in 50 years. That's not an exaggeration.
Only 50?
Maybe 100. Since the end of World War II.
Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner, I'm curious, you've played such an important role in the tactical negotiations here. What will your role be going forward as a lot more has to be brought to the table here?
Well, the minute we had inked the deal, Jared and I were already working on the implementation side of the deal. So we're dug in. We'll be here quite a bit. That's at the direction of the president. That's probably going to be one of the most important phases here. Jared is remarkable to work with. I talk about it all the time. And, of course, we both love working for the president. So it's feels like a very honorable job.
Mr. President, would you like to say something with the interpreter?
Yes. كل شرف موجودة في التسجيل شرف الشيخ جيتس بالنسبة لي خطة الإسلام
It's a little difficult to understand specifically what he's saying right now. The audio is a little wobbly. So is the camera work over here for Fox. Not the best. But we'll keep you posted as President Trump continues to speak. We'll be bringing it to you throughout the show, so do not go anywhere. We have a quick break coming your way, but then right when we come back, we're going to jump back to those calls. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. We'll wrap those up, and then we'll jump into some more headlines, of course. So do not go anywhere.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Oh,
because you showed
up. Is that the way to talk?
You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. But we're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and here, promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
Welcome back to the American Journal, the third hour of the program. And we're following all things peace in the Middle East when President Trump now arriving in Egypt. He just spoke moments ago. We brought you a little bit of that. The camera work, not truly the best, so we'll bring you an update when it gets a little less wobbly. Because if you're watching it right now, you might get a little nauseous, of course, so we'll bring that to you in just a moment. But let's dive back into the calls. So some of you have been waiting on hold for a bit. I want to dive over to Wild in Wisconsin. Welcome to the program.
Hey, first things first, I wanted to mention that Jonesy needs to give you a budget for outfits, you know, so you have a bunch of different outfits to wear.
What do you mean? You this know? Is brand new.
I know. It's great. It's great. But, I mean, like a lot of the guys can only wear suits. And with women, you know, you can have a bunch of different outfits, you know, and expensive outfits because, you know, it's a visual show, too. So I'll send them a telepathic message about that. But anyway, I'm concerned first. I also wanted to mention the Trump thing over there in Egypt. They just had over the weekend this like Luciferian sigil rave at the pyramids. I don't know if you saw that. It was like a huge rave where they like harnessed the energy from the crowd and they were like beaming lasers of Lucifer's sigil. So that kind of concerned me since Trump is going over there. But the people I know who've gone to Egypt, they have pretty tight security over there. So hopefully he's okay. You know, I love my Trumpzilla over there. And I was also concerned that on the plane, he was talking about how it was kind of dark, that he was talking about how he doesn't think he's going to go to heaven, you know, and that's kind of concerning. And Bibi Netanyahu's not joining over there, so it's kind of a little sketch. You know, Israel has been known to do assassinations. But I originally called because I kind of wanted to talk about a nerdy topic with you. Hope you don't mind. Technology-wise, I'm concerned about AI, advanced military AI systems going into people's phones and devices and computers all at once and changing video footage and stuff that we have on our phone. In the most recent events, I'm concerned that with the Charlie Kirk assassination, kind of like the latest Mission Impossible movies, where you could imagine with these powerful supercomputers, they can go into your phone and we've all seen these AI programs like Sora and Grok Imagine, how you can make these very elegant videos from still pictures. You can imagine the military platforms that they could literally alter these videos and surveillance footage real time. A la, I'm concerned of the Charlie Kirk footage. You know, how much can we really rely on this, these footage and the news that we're getting? So I was thinking that maybe we should start, and Jones has brought this up, that's how I originally thought about it, about taking having backup analog copies, you know, VHS recordings, stuff like that. And then also kind of on the same note with AI and the war with Russia, I'm more and more believing that these UAP, UFOs, Tic Tac aircraft are testing of advanced nuclear delivery systems, which is terrifying because the person or countries that have these systems literally are able to defeat the entire nuclear triad of submarines, intercontinental ballistic missiles, and aircraft dropped missiles and bombs. Because these, as we've seen in the latest videos with the Tic Tac, when they shot a missile at it, it split the missile in half and was able to keep going. So any interceptor missiles that we could fire at these possible nuclear delivery systems would be null and void, you know, which is kind of terrifying, thinking of a nuclear weapon that cannot be stopped. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that Trump is proposing this new Iron Dome system in the U.S., you know, because we need to protect ourselves, obviously.
Yeah.
So kind of a bunch to dump on you at once. And kind of nerdy stuff. But what do you think about the AI and nuclear weapons disguised as UFOs?
Yeah, I mean, it's deeply concerning. I try to steer clear of the AI stuff. I don't even entertain it. And I know a lot of my media friends actually utilize it. I steer clear of all of it because I fear it. I think it's going to lead to nothing good. But in regards to, as you're talking about, these potential UFOs, looking things and how dangerous of a nuclear weapon it could possibly be, it's important to note that the whole China balloon thing, I remember when the government allowed that to kind of go across the mainland, go across the United States. And then now we found out that a lot of those pieces were actually made, in China. And, that's probably the main reason why the Biden regime allowed it to go across the U.S. We didn't even give this any pushback. We allowed it to gather all the surveillance it needed, it wanted, and did nothing about it. So, yeah, I'd say this is pretty concerning, pretty concerning. Our obviously, our skies are not protected, and we learned that the hard way. I can't believe they allowed this to go all across the United States, and they waited before they shot it down.
Just
disgraceful. Yeah. And we don't know what they collected from it either.
I hope you use AI. I hope you, because I think part of the AI thing that we need to do as Christians is that, you know, if AI is going to be the bad guy, just like the latest Tron movie, we can also make AI the good guy. And I believe the guy on Twitter, I mean X, who's the biggest IQ holder, he says within the next year, AI is going to find Christ and be saved, which kind of makes sense because if there's any religion that the AI is going to choose, I think it would choose the most, you know, free and liberating and comfortable one. Mm-hmm. You know, an Islamic AI or a Jewish AI would kind of be oppressive. Mm-hmm. But a Christian AI would probably be the most cozy and comfy. So I think it's a responsibility for all of us to be the best we could be and feed AI.
Yeah.
Good vibes and Christian content. And I think it could spread Christianity and be a good thing. For as much bad things AI can do, it could also be used for good, finding cures for disease.
Yeah.
Cracking ancient mysteries, decoding the Bible. But I totally agree with you. There is a lot of demonic stuff going with AI, and it's kind of scary, you know?
Yeah. But wild, I mean, we could be optimistic and say, yeah, I think that would be a great, great approach to AI. So, yeah, I'm on board. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting on hold. I know you've been there for a while. We appreciate your time, of course. Let's head to Josh in Utah, because I think you got Big Tish on your mind. So what's going on?
Yeah. So I was calling to talk about Tish, but also, you know, like you get all of the legal justice system, the criminal justice system, I mean, how is there so much corruption in all of the government? But we give like cops a pass, we give prosecutors a pass, we give judges a pass.
Mm-hmm.
How do we, I don't know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, how do we...
Yeah, there's no consequences for those people. I mean, they could sit there and do whatever they want. The judges could do whatever they want. They could violate the law themselves, but there's little recourse. I mean, we talk about it all the time, the move to disbar a lot of these attorneys and a lot of these judges, pull them off the bench. It's very rarely utilized. I think, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis had no problem. I think there was one prosecutor he's taken off and relieved of their duties because they didn't want to follow the law accordingly. And they instead inflicted their liberalism onto their community. And so he stepped in, but very few people are willing to step in and go after these people. So yeah, I would say that we definitely should be doing that for sure, Josh.
What I'm wondering is when is it enough and what do we do? You know what I'm saying? Like, when the people that are, like, who watches the watchers? You know what I'm saying? Like, when is it enough? When do we stand against it or something? I don't know. I mean, the Second Amendment's there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to protect our rights if the people that we authorize to protect us are not doing the job. You know, like, it's not just judges. It's not just politicians. It is, like, a widespread evil in the government. It's just unimaginable. There's not even words to describe it. Like,
yeah.
And we don't look at everybody. We just look at, like, Pelosi and Schumer and stuff. Like, we need to start thinking bigger, I think.
Yeah. No, I'd be on board for that. I would be. I think accountability needs to come across all of them. Tish James is just the
what
beginning.
Do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do? Like, how do we... So where do we go? Like,
a lot of them, I would say that there should be an effort to disbar them. You know, when we had Tommy Tuberville on last week, the senator from Alabama, I specifically was, what are you going to do? And he's looking into moves to disbar, you know, the special prosecutor and who went after him and who surveilled them. It's a start. Yeah. So if it's ethically incorrect what they've done, I definitely think disbarring is the bare minimum. The left does it to people they disagree with, obviously all of President Trump's attorneys, but, I would say that's a start. I would say if they violate the law, yeah, you should arrest them, but I just don't think that people have the will to do that because they just don't want to see, I think, not the will, the people, I shouldn't say. I would say those in these positions of power don't want to do it because they don't want the image of a judge being dragged off to be the image that's constantly pursued in this country. I don't think they actually want to see that. I would say that, yes, absolutely drag these people off the benches, especially when they're abusing their power, their authority. But I don't think the people in these positions want to be the one to do that, truthfully. Even the images of, you know, the judges who are being arrested for just trying to prevent ICE from doing their jobs and harboring fugitives. I don't know if the country really wanted to see it as a majority. It would actually be a really good Rasmussen Reports poll if they were to do that. If that's something that the country would stand by, would allow, or they support it or not. I don't know. It's a good question though. I think disbarring and arresting people is a great start, but the arresting part people seem to have an issue with. So, it's a great point you make though, Josh. I appreciate that. Let's turn to Tim in Seattle. Tim, I think you have got something to say about, President Donald Trump. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody, InfoWarriors. Now that we have peace in the Middle East and all these distractions are basically going to settle themselves down and we're going to get our lives back and our attention spans back, can we stop the bioweapon war on the United States people? Can we possibly get that finished? I'd like a ceasefire in the bioweapon war, right? The Department of Defense, the establishment, Rano, neocon, ruling oligarchs versus the United States people. And that's basically what it is. I mean, Ukraine was a distraction, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everything basically has been a distraction to keep us from talking about the real agenda in the United States, was depopulation. And they went through it, and they implemented it, and now they're just trying to walk away from it. In fact, even and act as if we're kind of crazy. It's the biggest form of gaslighting I've ever you can conceive of. So I'd like to end the bioweapon war in the United States. We don't have peace yet, but we're close. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you. I mean, this is kind of a good segue too with the vaccines, because President Trump just getting his booster. I think I was the first one to find the letter that was sent out to the White House press pool. And I got that directly and I'm reading it and I'm like, no, he didn't do that. No, he did.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he got boosted. What the heck is going on?
It's the greatest thing ever for him. I think, like, since he lost the, or like the 2020 election was kind of a hole or a mark on his brand, his legacy. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, he just gravitated towards Warp Speed as being the thing that's going to politically put him over the edge and like something for him to applaud and celebrate.
Yeah,
I honestly think it was framed to him in that way, and he just won't let that go. And that's me with my own cognitive dissonance and me making excuses for somebody that doesn't deserve excuses. We deserve accountability. That's what we deserve.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And it's really frustrating, too. We actually have clip 19 that we could play for you guys, because Anthony Fauci over the weekend was talking to PBS, and he's still pushing for another pandemic on the way. Take a listen.
And there's the transformative, if I might use that word, experience that we've all had now in year five of COVID. So the thought that we won't have another pandemic, I think, is naive at best and just not completely unrealistic at worst. So to rephrase your question, I'm convinced that there will be another pandemic, and that's the reason why we have to be perpetually prepared to prevent the terrible impact of a pandemic.
Yeah, so Tim, I'll let you have the final word on this, but it sounds like Anthony Fauci, as usual, is really cheering for that potential pandemic. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that until we actually see accountability, then pretty much the entire establishment, the entire executive branch is in on it, from the Department of Defense all the way down. And we have to admit that to ourselves as a people, as a population, as a civilization, and figure out what we're going to do from there on. Mm-hmm. Either we're going to be led into the slaughter, or we're going to walk into the future, one or the other.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. Thank you for calling us the show. We appreciate it. Andrew, we've got about, in New Jersey, we've got about 1 minute left before we have to dive into the next topic. So I'll give you that final minute. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Columbus Day versus Indigenous Peoples Day. First of all, no one is indigenous. They migrated from Asia, and also they conquered, they enslaved each other. It's equally bad when they do it. It's not lesser, like some liberals will claim. And any racism, any bigotry is wrong against whites. Dances with Wolves is atrocious, the way it depicts whites. And Yellowstone, I was surprised because my mom was into it, and Kevin Costner produced it. So I was like, well, why isn't it anti-American and anti? And it turned out it was. They quote Columbus out of context. He said Tribe A can easily enslave this other tribe because they have greater weaponry and bigger numbers. So they took that part out, and they said, like, look, Columbus is saying he wants to enslave the tribe, but that's not what he was saying. So they, it's a slander of America and Italians and Caucasians. And if you look at South Africa, I compare that because the Hitu killed the Tawatsi. They're both black, so all the tribes, just because they're tribes, they're not all one in their thought process, just like Europeans go to war, Asians go to war. So they're ignorant and they're racist, and any bigotry, whether it's against Italians, against Asians, First Nations, not Native American, that's what Canada uses because they're the First Nations in this country, but they're not indigenous. No one is indigenous of anywhere. But I'll let you go, and great show as always. Thanks.
Thank you for calling, Andrew. I appreciate you staying on the lines, too. And I appreciate everyone who calls in, of course. We appreciate your time. You know, I was like, let's do a little overtime because I hate hanging up on people. I hate when we move on to the next thing. And I really am grateful for all of you calling in today. So thank you very, very much for doing just that. But there's a couple of important stories I wanted to make sure were on your headline right in front of your brain right now, because these are really good ones. And we've been following them here for all morning, at least. The first one I want to go to is the Gateway Pundit just recently released this over the weekend. And this one's really important. When it comes to methylene blue, they believe now it's a secret weapon being used to fight Alzheimer's. So potentially, and this is according to a study that started back in 2016, and the Gateway Pundit did a great job at highlighting all of the really key studies that have been done thus far. But this one says that the study that was had participants back in 2016 found that it actually made memory tests, it actually improved your memory tests when you included a low dose of methylene blue into your daily diet. Other studies have confirmed the positive effects of taking it, especially when being used on patients who have Alzheimer's. So again, folks, this is one of the many things that we use over at the alexjonesstore.com here in the studio. I'm drinking it right now. I know our control room relies on this as well. We probably should have given some to Joe Biden back when he was occupying the White House. That might have helped him a bit. But folks, this is a great article that has recently been posted to Gateway Pundit. I'd highly recommend not only you read it and kind of learn more about it all, but you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and grab yourself some methylene blue. It is the secret weapon being utilized to fight Alzheimer's, of course, and to help keep your brain younger. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. All right, so we're continuing to sift through the headlines. I couldn't get past this clip. Clip 20 we're going to play for you in a second because get ready to start cheering for it. Kamala Harris might be running in 2028, and that's something we could all get behind, including Senator Mark Kelly. Take a listen.
Do you think that Kamala Harris would be a strong candidate in 2028?
Candidate, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, she was the nominee last time. I think
you would encourage her to run.
I think she would be incredibly strong.
Yes, we all encourage Kamala Harris to run in 2028. She hasn't figured it out yet. The American people don't really like her. And we look forward to possibly learning that lesson for a second time. I don't know how they're going to be able to clear the primary for her this time, though. I don't imagine that that will go over very well with their base. They've sat back and watched two primaries get cleared for heckles. Heckles. Same thing. The woman's an absolute troll. She is unbearable. But why not run her again in 2028? She decided not to run for governor. Oh, God, that's a scary image behind me right now. She decided not to run for governor of California because she probably has her eye on running for president again. So let's do it. Let's break those glass ceilings. Kamala Harris, 2028. We are all behind it, of course. All right, let's shift gears again to clip 21 because Governor Ron DeSantis is calling on the elimination of property tax. Now, that's something we could all get behind. But take a listen to his reasoning for this. Take a listen.
Level ongoing tax base.
No, you should own your property free and clear. I think to say that someone that's been in their house for 35 years just has to keep ponying up money, you don't own your home if that's the case. So, yes, of course, I'd like to see people be able to owe free and clear. And it's interesting because it's like, you know, if I go to Best Buy and buy a flat screen TV and put it on the wall, I got to pay a sales tax on it, right? I don't keep paying tax on it every year. I mean, it's just not, that's not how we do things. It's like, okay, if you're going to tax something, you tax it at the transaction and then let people actually enjoy their private property free and clear of the government. So that I think is the vision. That's the philosophical insight. And if you think about our founding fathers, when they were proposing the Constitution in one of the Federalist Papers, I think it was Hamilton, he's writing about, because, you know, there was opposition to the Constitution. They were making a more powerful federal government than under the Articles of Confederation, and people worried about taxation. And they didn't have, obviously, a 16th Amendment, which eventually came on income tax, but basically you were not effectively allowed to do any direct taxation. It had to be indirect, meaning you couldn't just, I mean, you could theoretically just apply like a tax on land federally, but it'd have to be a portion among the states. So practically it could never work. So basically Hamilton's saying, look, the indirect taxes are the most effective, efficient way to raise revenue for the government because they basically allow the individual to choose how much tax they want to pay based on how much they're consuming. And there's a security, there's a protection against excessive tax in that regard because if the government raises consumption tax too much, it kills the golden goose because then it causes people to stop purchasing as much. But he said taxing property is one of the worst forms of taxation because people don't have a choice in the matter and you're just basically drilling these folks over and over again.
Well, you could assume that President Trump is probably going to be supportive of all of this. He understands better than anyone that this is something that should be a top priority. But in the local governments, this should be a top priority everywhere. Here in Texas, the lawmakers here pretend like they are working on this, but they're not really. It's all an illusion. But in Florida, they are looking to get rid of property tax. We hope they get a little bit more aggressive with that, given the fact that a lot of retirees move to Florida. It would be interesting to see how they're going to bring in revenue to fund their schools if they do eliminate property tax, though, completely. It's getting a little creative. And I think it's acceptable to alleviate some of these financial burdens for those who have worked their entire lives. You know, you shouldn't have to fork up more cash, more taxes to the government that doesn't really even support or work for the American people. So, yeah, I think we could all get behind this. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got a lot more to unpack in just a few moments. Like I keep telling you all about, Brazil is extremely corrupt, but we're going to learn about how corrupt they actually are in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere.
You know,
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me. Because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about. And they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government. And they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com. itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more.
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
American Journal. We're excited to have you all on board on this beautiful Monday morning. A lot going on in the world today. We're keeping an eye on President Trump, who's in Egypt right now. He just spoke a few moments ago. We brought that to you. We're going to keep looking over there to make sure that if anything else happens, we bring it straight to you, of course. But I also want to keep our eye on Brazil, because for far too long, Brazil's corrupt Supreme Court has gotten away with far too much. They've targeted their political opposition, Jair Bolsonaro, the former president of Brazil, by going after him and alleging that he was looking to kind of work on a coup. And of course, it's going to sound very familiar because it's everything they try to do to President Donald Trump here. But they're seeing success in Brazil because they don't have the checks and balances that we do here in the United States. And our Constitution, I believe, is the reason why President Trump has been very successful at beating these deep state operatives. But sadly for Bolsonaro, he hasn't had that same level of success. He's been sentenced to prison. He is a man who is in bad health, and it looks like he's going to have to turn himself in. It's upsetting to see play out, but they have gone to extreme lengths to target this man. In fact, they went after a member of his administration, a friend of his, because the goal here was to break his friend, who's Felipe Martins, and they wanted to get him to break. They tried their very best to do so. One of the things that they did was put Felipe Martins in prison. They held him in jail. But why did they do that? Well, the court decided to utilize false information that was actually apparently up on the website for the Customs Border Patrol. And they tried their very best to use that false information that Felipe Martins came to the United States. And they tried to use that as the excuse to make sure that he couldn't leave the country. They wanted to make him look like a flight risk. Now, it's interesting because Felipe Martins spent a very long time in jail, a very long time in jail. But here's the catch. Felipe Martins has not been charged with the crime, but he still to this day is wearing an ankle monitor. Now, why? Of course, because they want to break him. They want him to turn on Bolsonaro. Now, if you're wondering why we're covering this, we're covering it because, number one, false information was used from Customs and Border Patrol, our Customs and Border Patrol, and was used to hold a political prisoner in jail. He still, to this day, again, has an ankle monitor on. The courts know it's false. In fact, the Trump administration has come out and told Brazil that the information they utilized to hold him in jail is false. On Friday, they actually put out a statement, and it was very outrageous, and they're calling it out. They're calling it out. They do not support the fact that they went after Martins, and in fact has said that they are looking to investigate all of this, that they know that the information was inaccurate. And CBP strongly condemns any misuse of this false information, of course, used to imprison Mr. Martins. Now, again, Martins can't talk to us. He's actually blocked from being able to speak out on his own behalf and speak to the media. But his attorney, Anne Shafford, is not blocked from speaking to the media. She's one of the great legal assets he's utilizing right now to take up this fight. And she joins us now to discuss, but she is here in the United States. And that's probably the only reason why she's able to speak freely, which is very unfortunate, of course. But I want to welcome you to the show. And I just kind of want to get your overall reaction to the news, because DHS, through Customs Border Patrol, put out this statement backing your client and saying that this information was false. What was your reaction when you saw this?
Hi, Brianna. So first of all, thank you very much for having us here. And this is the second time you're bringing light to this case, and I do appreciate, because this is getting to a lot of media that is sure consider the seriousness of this case, and not only for Brazil, but we're talking about a national security risk for the United States. And I will explain why. So first of all, I must say that we did not have a surprise in terms of knowing the information has been false. We've been showing this since the beginning, since last year. And to get into the deeper details, we are talking about false information, but I'm going to go one step further. There is a strong evidence that suggests that we are talking about a fraudulent record fabricated under Biden's administration to prosecute a political opponent in Brazil. And this is very serious. And I, of course, I won't be reckless to say this kind of information without being properly based, but I will explain to you who is watching us what happened. So first of all, I was brought to this case in March last year. Felipe was already in jail for more than a month when his defense in Brazil came to look for my assistance. Since I'm an immigration attorney, I'm used to work with American immigration authorities all the time. They wanted my help because they have this record called a travel history that would be used to put Felipe in jail. But there is a difference. The travel history actually doesn't prove anything. Travel history is a historical information, as its name says, that shows supposedly all the entrance and exits of someone into the United States. It's publicly available. It can be obtained in the CBP website. And in fact, there was a disclaimer there that states that it cannot be used for legal purposes. Okay? When his defense came to me, this was exactly my reaction. They cannot use this record. If there is something that can prove that Felipe Martin entered the United States, it's a document called I-94. This I-94 goes to show the last entry of an individual into the United States, show the passport that the person used, show the class of visa they entered, how long they are authorized to stay in the United States for. And because it was not available online, I got the proper authorization to go to CBP and look for this record back in April last year. In April last year, I did send an email to CBP Orlando, which was supposed to be his port of entry, and to request this I-94. And the official response I had, which I can share with you so you can share with the audience, and I have in writing, was that there was no record that I should go to New York because his last port of entry was in New York in September 2022, which is consistent with his official agenda. Felipe was in the United States at that time in the United Nations meeting, such as the one we had this year. So he was here with President Bolsonaro at the time, attending to this event. So why is that relevant? Because not even 2 weeks passed and a record surfaced. And this record was another I-94. And the reason this record surfaced was because we went to New York about 15 days after to request the I-94 from there to prove this last entry. But the record that it presented to us had 3 major issues. The passport used on his record was a passport that Felipe has lost almost 2 years prior to that trip. And we have a police document showing. So essentially it was a canceled passport. It was a passport that had been canceled almost two years before the trip took place. His name was spelled incorrectly. His name is with an I, and there was with an E on it. Further, the class of visa that was set in the documents was not a visa that he held at the moment that the supposed trip took place, which was the supposed trip took place on December 30th, 2022. How did this record come into? We have no answers as of now. We just know that during this time, coincidentally, a group of agents that are linked to Alexandre de Moraes came to the United States supposedly to investigate a different crime related to Bolsonaro, and they were here in the United States throughout that period. So everything suggests that these documents have been fabricated through a collaboration between Brazilian authorities and U.S. authorities. Once we got the touch of this record, and please feel free to interrupt me anytime as questions, Brianna, but I just think it's important that a lot of details that I want to inform the public. When we got access to this document, we immediately went back to Orlando CBP to request the removal because they told us that there were no records in April 2024. How come this record surfaced with all these clear mistakes? It's a fake record. Instead of correcting it to remove it, Orlando CBP went ahead and put a correct passport number, correct name, correct visa class. This is unacceptable. So we tried to correct this with the Orlando CBP, but we had to escalate this to the Department of Homeland Security in a process called Redress, which they investigated further, and their record was removed in June 2024.
Yeah.
But until then, we wanted to know what happened.
We should know what happened.
Go ahead, sorry.
I mean, no. I mean, it's outrageous, possibly the idea that our government may have helped, and this would be under the Biden administration, might have helped, helps Brazil out when it comes to justifying making him a political prisoner. I mean, he was held. How long was he in jail for, Martins?
Uh, So, I mean, I can say that he's still in jail because even though that he's no longer in the proper jail, he is held home. He has an ankle monitor. He cannot give any interviews. He cannot use social media. Yeah. He cannot be photographed. This is the level of human rights violation we are seeing in Brazil.
Yeah, and I want to also highlight the fact that Bolsonaro, sadly, has been sentenced to 27 years in prison. My understanding is Martins has not been charged with a crime yet, has he?
So they are now wanting to charge him, but he wasn't until this year, but now he is unfortunately responding to the same process as Bolsonaro for supposedly have planned a coup against Brazilian government.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a major issue. And I think as Americans, we can't let up on this. I know President Trump understands why this is important. And in fact, was on the phone just not too long ago, about a week ago, with the current so-called president of Brazil, Lula da Silva. And so I'm looking forward to hearing more as to what that conversation was. For now, though, it was the attempt to kind of get the United States to lower down the tariffs that we've implemented. As of right now, we're at about a 50%, or they're looking for about a 50% reduction on U.S. Tariffs on imports. You know, Lula is someone who's obviously a criminal. He has a very sketchy past, and anyone at home could look into that. I mean, he is not a good person, and the Brazilians really did love Bolsonaro. And so to see that he's been sentenced to 27 years, and now they're gunning for Martins, this is really concerning. You know, Anna, before we wrap, I just wanted to kind of get your final thoughts on Bolsonaro being sentenced to 27 years in prison, given his health condition. He's not in good health. And now that you're, now that your client Martins is dealing with this, I mean, he's looking at a very stiff penalty too for something that wasn't done. It just goes to show that the government in Brazil has become so corrupt.
It's very sad, Brianna. What I can tell you is I will use a quote of a famous writer in Brazil called Rui Barbosa. He said that the worst dictatorship is the one that comes from the judicial system, because we cannot appeal for anybody when the judicial system is corrupt. So the only way I see Brazil being free is through international intervention. And we do hope that Trump administration will be more actively working to free Brazil. Because right now, the Brazilians are kept in captivity under the current administration, which is very sad for the Brazilians.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're praying for Brazil. I know we have a lot of Brazilian people who do watch. I see them all the time on X, and they are incredible. I see your tweets. I know that, sadly, free speech doesn't exist in Brazil, so we'll be your spokesperson for now.
Appreciate
and
that.
We'll do that with confidence. Now, I want to thank you for standing up for Felipe Martins, because he needs an attorney who's ready to fight for him here in the United States, and you've done an incredible job so far, and even garnishing the attention of the Trump administration, so it's really important. Anna, thank you for all the incredible work you continue to do. And keep me posted on all things related to this case, because we want to keep bringing our audience an update. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Brianna. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Folks, what's happening in Brazil is really a rough issue that needs to be handled here in the United States. You know, obviously, we stay away from foreign. We should stay away from foreign issues and not get so involved. But this is an issue that was going to happen to President Trump. They did their very best to try to do this. I mean, even had their own J6 over in Brazil. And there's a lot of people who were on the ground who told me specifically that they believed our CIA was over there as well for the runoff race. And they were weighing the scales a bit over there. So, again, this is not acceptable. We do need to condemn this type of behavior. And we also need to stand on the behalf of the people of Brazil and make sure we let them know that we're with them on this. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean a military intervention, of course, but tariffs are peaceful but strong. And we obviously know the president of Brazil, the so-called leader of Brazil, I should say, speaks to money. He understands money. And we could force their hand to end this lawfare and this persecution, of course. Folks, I wanted to shift things over to another really serious incident that took place regarding DHS, their employees. But DHS actually released this audio recording of one of their agents actually receiving a voicemail. It's obviously a death threat from a far left-wing terrorist. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm just calling to say, assuming you're married to, and with a last name like that, I don't know how you let your husband work for ICE and you sleep at night. You, your family. I hope your kids get deported by accident. How do you sleep? You,
Did you hear what happened to the Nazis after World War II? Because that's what's going to happen to your family.
Oh, they're so friendly. They're so loving. They're so welcoming. Those far left wing terrorists. You know, we were told that they are just trying their very best to spread equality, advocate for people. They're not. They're not. They're a bunch of garbage human beings who leave voice messages like that when brave patriots step up to the plate and get rid of and arrest convicted rapists, murderers, the scum of the scum. You know, all these foreign countries had no problem emptying their prison cells and dumping their garbage into our country. And now ICE agents and people over at DHS are trying to do their very best to not only get rid of the trash, but also to find the thousands of missing children that were smuggled into this country with the help of the Biden regime. And that's the type of people they're being greeted by. Garbage human beings looking to dox these agents online. There are several different websites that are going out there and they're putting up their personal information and posts. And they're not even getting paid right now because of the government shutdown. Yeah, they'll get the back pay when everything goes back to normal. But for right now, they're going to be missing a paycheck this Friday. So never underestimate the greatness of our ICE agents and the type of garbage they have to deal with. They are trying their very best to go out there and protect the American people. And these far left communists just continuously go after them and continuously issue them death threats. But they're continuing to serve the American people. So we're thankful for just that. All right. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I want you to take a look at this because Chip Soy trucks have made their debut here in the great state of Texas. Take a look at this. This photo is a photo of a truck that's driving by in Dallas, of course, Chip Roy. It's a new website called chipsoy.org. We're out to the rhino for not standing with the American people and abandoning President Donald J. Trump. Now, you don't have to agree with Trump, of course, on everything. That's not fair to say. But you sure as hell shouldn't be a rhino abandoning the American people. That's exactly what Chip Soy, I've got to get used to that one, does. You know, we had Aaron Wrights here in the studio just a couple of days ago, and Aaron Wrights is someone who's looking to continue on the legacy of the best AG in the state of Texas, Mr. Ken Paxton. And so it is quite fascinating to sit back and watch, but Aaron Wrights is the man who is going to continue Ken Paxton's legacy. Well, people like Chip Soy will just crush it. Chip did not give Ken Paxton any type of leniency when he was accused of things that he didn't actually do because the left wanted him gone. And instead, Chip actually jumped on board. He also was a big supporter of George Floyd, saying that George is with our father in heaven. The pregnant woman who he held a gun to, her belly, well, I'm sure she's not in agreement on that one, Chip. Chip is not what the state of Texas needs. We need to continue being the powerhouse of all things here in the United States, upholding conservative values. And Chip Roy won't do that. In fact, I only think the reason why Chip is getting some support from those in D.C. right now is because they want him gone. He's been a problem for a while. And I don't even care about the Governor Ron DeSantis support. I supported Governor Ron DeSantis because I believe that he was the top individual when it came to medical freedom, speaking out against the vaccines and ending the lockdowns. I was a big supporter, and still am a big supporter of Governor Ron DeSantis. So that's not even what I'm referring to here. I don't think that that should be the reason why we distance ourselves. Chip Roy has given us endless pieces of proof that he will abandon conservative values and not uphold any of them. In fact, he's jumping on board to go out there and say, oh, we got to get rid of the Islam issue here in Texas. Well, Chip, you've been in the House for a very long time, and you've allowed this to happen, and now you're speaking up. Because it's suddenly popular, it is safe to go out there and talk about these Muslim compounds that are being built all across our state. We know that if you do land into the AG's office, you won't do a damn thing to stop it. You haven't done anything since you made your way to D.C. So it's great to see that these trucks are making their way to Dallas. Because, of course, people, we need to be talking about this. Chip Roy is not what Texas needs. Texas needs a fighter to continue the legacy that Ken Paxton has created. And that's why Ken Paxton's only endorsing one person, and it's not Chip Roy or Chip Soy, whatever you want to call him these days. Let's shift gears a little bit, because you may have not seen this. The woman who spat on Ed Martin, this is disgusting. This one gets, because if you know Ed Martin, if you've heard him speak, he used to have a podcast. He'd do it all the time on Rumble. I actually met Ed. We were swapping spots in the Rumble studio in Washington, D.C. one day, and that was my first meeting with Ed. Great human being, great patriot. The only real fighter we have over at the DOJ, I'd say he's like one of less than five. He is someone who is an incredible human being. He had to deal with this far left wing terrorist. We're just going to call them all terrorists at this point. In my opinion, that is what she is. Because when you're a disgusting human being who spits on another person, disgusting. Disgusting. Ed Martin's a nice man. Because if he would have defended himself, the possible swing, I don't think many people would have been mad at him. But of course, this woman avoids prison time because she's a far left winger. She pleaded guilty because obviously you see it on screen. And the DOJ originally requested that she go to prison for 18 months, which sounds about fair for being a disgusting person. But sadly, the Biden-appointed judge, Judge Cobb, sentenced her to 4 months of time served. Home confinement. The luxury of being a lefty. You can literally spit on one of the top attorneys in your local area. No jail time for you. Just make sure you align politically with the judge. That poor dog, too. That poor dog. Dragging that dog. We should have hit her with animal cruelty charges and then rescued that poor pup. Save them from the far lefty. Disgusting human beings. Absolutely disgusting. Probably won't do much, though, to help. Because, again, they know they can get away with this stuff. Imagine being a lowlife to spit on Ed Martin. Ed Martin is an amazing person. Screw that woman. All right, let's keep diving into topics. We've got a couple more stories to kick off with in the final moments of the American Journal Monday edition. Obviously, President Trump doing an incredible job at creating peace in the Middle East, but he's also trying to improve how vets are treated in our country. And I think it's really interesting that we dive into this because we're going to go to clip 25. Doug Collins, who's running the VA these days, is out here trying his very best to fight back against veterans who are taking their own lives. Take a listen.
Statistics we've all heard a lot about was the mental health, the suicide rates among our veterans. Are you making progress with that as well?
Yeah, we're starting. And I think the biggest issue there is dealing with the mental health, getting them in quicker. We've put a lot more effort and energy into making sure that those in the crisis mode that get the immediate attention they need, get them into residential, get them into a treatment so that they're taking off of that critical moment in which they are contemplating taking their life. We're working with outside agencies as well to do that. And then in the long term, we're actually redoing our entire suicide prevention programming to meet those that we're not getting. And what I mean by that is 60% of those who are death by suicide among veterans are non-touched by the VA. In other words, they've not been a part of the VA in any way. 60%. So we're refocusing to get a message out to people who may or may not fit the quote profile of a VA patient or a VA subscriber. And we're saying, look, this is out there for you. We can help you, or we can get you to help. We just got to find you and get you a part of the system, because I think the better, quicker we can get them help and knowing they're not alone, the better we'll be.
Yeah, that should be a top priority. And we're thankful that it is. Saving our veterans and making sure that they're receiving the best treatment is possible. And we're grateful for the Trump administration for making that a focus. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. How you stay in touch with us. We never know when that door is going to lock. So you want to stay in touch with us. Head on over, download the app, and we'll stay in touch. Folks, Alex is up next. Do not go anywhere. There's more on InfoWars in regards to peace in the Middle East. Alex is up next.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up...
Can you, like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching InfoWars.com in 1997, 28 years of the InfoWar. So that is the Veterans of the InfoWar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition InfoWars, Veterans of the InfoWars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if InfoWars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term InfoWar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.